Independence Day. Good day for us to meet. Danielle, if you would do the roll call, please.
Thank you. President Enns?
Here.
Vice President Chivins?
Here.
Director Lyon?
Here.
Director Foster?
Here.
Director Lloyd?
Here.
Mayor Irons?
Here.
Vice Mayor Smuckler?
Here, but not the vice mayor.
Wait a minute, he's not high
there. Councilmember Christine Johnson?
Here.
Councilmember Nancy Johnson?
Here.
And Councilmember League?
Here.
Thank you.
Thank you, Danielle. I would like to introduce our newest board member, Dan Lloyd, in case any of you haven't met him. It's his first actual JPA meeting, although he has attended as an audience member. So he's up to speed. Thank you. And Mayor Irons, you have a new capital projects manager. Would you like to introduce him?
I'll turn that over to Mr. Livick for that introduction, please. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Rick Sauerwine, I think he's in the audience. He's our new capital projects and engineering division manager, and he started with the city right before the first of the year and is getting up to speed on all of our projects, and he helped out preparing one of the staff reports, our MMRP, otherwise known as capital projects staff report, and the agenda tonight. Thank you, Rick.
Thanks, Rick.
Okay, thank you, and welcome, Rick. Okay, I'll open this to public comment. I think, as most of you know, Betty Winholtz will help me remind me about the public comment. And the first portion of public comment here is just for things that are not on the current agenda. We'll open public comment to every item on the agenda. So if you have comments on the items on the agenda, you can hold them until we discuss that item. What we'll do here is we'll open the item. We'll discuss it both at our board and the Cayucas or the Morbay Council, and then we'll open it to the public. We'll close it to the public, discuss it here, and make any action that's necessary. By allowing us to make comments at the beginning before we have public comment, that gives you a chance to understand what the two bodies are thinking. May change your public comment. So with that, I'd like to go to the consent agenda. There's only one item on here. No, there's two items on here. I'm sorry, A1 and A2. The minutes.
Excuse me, you're going to open for public comment or not?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay.
See, I told you to remind me. Thank you.
Oh, I'm reminding you.
Thank you, Richard.
You're welcome. Richard Sadowski, former employee at the Cayuga Sanitary District. While I was employed for Mr. Enns and the board, Wallace Engineering was doing a flow study in Morro Bay, and in North Morro Bay in particular. At that time, I had compiled data, flow data, from 2003 to November 8th, 2004. That showed that the Morro Bay wastewater treatment plant was severely under capacity during certain severe wet weather conditions and high tourist times. While employed at the district, one of my first projects, I'm a mechanical engineer by profession and a grade 4 wastewater collection operator, I wrote a procedure that calibrated the flow meters that you were currently using, that Cayucas was currently using at the lift station 5. I took the
indulgence to talk about those because I need to be back to work in Morro Bay at 6:30. And the first one is the staff report that comes forward saying it's going to take 10 years to build the new plant. I highly doubt this. We know that there are other plants that have been built in 2 years, like Santa Paula. Morro Bay has been informed by a resident in Morro Bay who's been doing research, and hopefully Morro Bay will share that with Cayucas this evening, of a place called Stansburg that has also gotten something done in a 24-month period. So that time period is bogus to me, and I would encourage you not to accept that or believe that. My second disappointment is the fact that you would sink $100,000 into trying to keep the old plant going, assuming that it would take 10 years to build a new plant. Mr. Keogh himself told the city council when I was on 4 or 5 years ago that there's no way this plant can be made to last that long. And so I would challenge you not to accept that piece of information, and again, move forward with something that's aggressive and can be done in 24 months. My third disappointment with regard to tonight's agenda is the fact that you have not addressed the issue that is number one before you can do anything else, and that is whether or not you are going to stay in partnership together. That is the one thing that should be on your agenda tonight. Are you going to stay together and work together, or build your separate plants? And at some point, you need to address that. So I encourage you, having been in where you are, I know the politics of what you're doing. I'm disappointed that there are still people working against the Coastal Commission, whether they're from Cayucas or from Morro Bay or in the audience, and that you need to step forward and quit costing us money with delays. Thank you.
Good evening, Marla Jo Bruton, North Morro Bay. I'd like to just bring up the fact that there was an article in a local newspaper that came out today, and I hope that the writer, that his sentiments are incorrect. It's talking about lengthy lawsuits and this and that, and you know, all this time wasted and money and all that. And I would just plead with Cayucas Sanitary District to put your attention on collecting sewage and transporting it to a wastewater treatment plant, and not on your property values. That the Cayucas Sanitary District, being a special district, the funding that you have and the property that you own and hold and overlook for your community, I would suspect that many in your community are not aware of the financial and the properties that are owned by the Cayucas Sanitary District. Since you're not a community services district, the rest of your community really isn't aware of how much property actually you own, with easements and what have you. I would ask you to do the right thing for your community and set aside issues of property value, or who's going to, you know, come out on the short end of the stick or the top end of the stick or what have you, and put your attention on your duty, and that is to collect sewage and transport it to a wastewater treatment plant. And as for Morro Bay, I would hope that we would all understand the same principle. I don't think that there's so much of that kind of activity in Morro Bay, because we're a city and we have more input from our community than Cayucas Sanitary District does. So I think that they have a separate way of looking at their role and responsibility in the community, and I would ask them to please focus on taking care of the sewage. You don't have any water. You know, you're a separate little bailiwick. Morro Bay, we have sewer, water. We have many, many parts to our city, police department, fire department, what have you. And so you are looking out for the interest of the whole city more so your job. I would just ask that thoughts of suing and wasting money and time on that, that's time that we don't have, It's money we don't have. It should be going towards building a project, and I'm disappointed this evening too that the discussion about the partnership isn't on here, because that seems to have been holding back a lot of progress.
Agenda items in the beginning, and everybody can, if they want to address a single agenda item, they can do that. And I think that's the intent of the Brown Act, and I commend you all for the way you're doing it. I've been doing a little survey, spending quite a bit of time going on other city sites and looking at their agendas to see if they do theirs in a similar manner. Most of those that I've come across do. But when I came today to look at the JPA, I was a little bit uncertain, even though I knew how you managed your meetings. I was uncertain as to how you did it, because instead of you just invite public comment at the meeting. And I would be better, I think, if you change the language the way many other cities do. You're invited at the public comment time to address non-agenda items, unless there's some other, you know, exception. And that at the time of consideration of an agenda item, that's when the public would also, but that's when you address the item on the agenda. So again, thank you for the way you've done your meetings. And I just think it might be helpful to everybody to understand. Thank you.
Good evening, Bill Martini, Morro Bay. And first off, I'd like to say that, you know, I know the Coastal Commission has spoken and that we do need to move the sewer plant. As a former 30-year resident of Cayucas, I would like to see Morro Bay and Cayucas work hand-in-hand on this. But in the past, this is the bulk of the burden and the bulk of the expense has been in Morro Bay as opposed to Cayucas. I know it wasn't in Cayucas' backyard. So I think in the JPA or that agreement, I would like to see something that's a win-win situation. But I think a lot of the decisions in that, it may pay to rewrite the JPA. Originally, my understanding is that it was for more of a maintenance-type agreement to run the plant after it was built. But I think with Morro Bay having more to be involved in as far as expense, location, the burden of the plant and that it should be more a senior-junior partnership. It's still a win-win situation, but with the flow rates approximately 75%, 25%, I really think in the future that you have to weigh that towards the community that has the biggest burden and the biggest amount of usage. So again, I don't really want to see the communities split and go their separate ways. There's actually benefit in numbers. It's like buying in bulk. So, I mean, I don't see a benefit for both parties going their separate ways. But just to keep in mind that Morro Bay is about 2/3 to 75% of this. Thank you.
Good evening, Morro Bay, Mayor Irons, and Mr. Innes, and council members. This is my first time at a JPA meeting. My name is Linda Merrill, and I live at 391 Sequoia Street, Morro Bay. My interest is in hearing how you all will work together tonight to build us all a new wastewater treatment plant. I've read the staff reports, trust me, it wasn't easy, and I will try to stay for your whole meeting, but if I can't, I will watch it on the replay at home. Sometimes I can't stay the whole meeting. I hope you all can work amicably together for a superior location and build a plant we can all be proud of. Thank you all for your efforts to represent us in the best wastewater treatment plant possible. Our ocean's health depends on it. Thank you all.
Anyone else? All right, here we go.
Just 1 minute. Hi, I'm Kathy Oliver. I'm a resident of Cayucas.
And I'd just like to ask that you really do address the issue of whether you're going to keep an agreement. Thank you.
Anyone else? All right, I'd like to thank everyone, including Richard Sadowski, who reminded me I'd skip public comment. And with that, we'll go to our consent calendar. We have two items on there. One is minutes of the last meeting and Bruce Keough's operations reports through December 2012. Anyone wish to discuss any of those items in detail? If not, I would ask for a motion to approve from Cayucas.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? None. Consent item is complete.
Okay. Thank you, Mayor Arntz. Next item is old business. There is none. Next item, C, new business. C1, discussion and consideration to approve funding for implementation of an arc flash mitigation measure. Bruce, do you want to tell us a little bit about this?
Sure. Good evening. The staff report covers a request for additional funding for the wastewater treatment plant budget in the amount of $28,500 to implement arc flash mitigation measures. This past year, actually in July of this year, we contracted with an electrical engineer to perform an arc flash incident energy and arc flash study at the wastewater treatment plant. It is an OSHA requirement that you perform such a study and that you implement certain safety measures to protect workers at the treatment plant, or any facility, actually. Arc flash is actually defined as, I'm still coming up to speed on some of the terms, I'm not an electrician. It's an electric current that passes through the air when insulation or isolation between electrical conductors is no longer sufficient to withstand the applied voltage. Basically, it comes out as an explosion. So we contracted with Dittman Associates out of Shell Beach. They performed a study by looking at the as-built drawings, the electrical information at the treatment plant. They run an electrical model, basically, and then they come up with what the incident energies and arc flash potentials are at the treatment plant. The good news for us is that the majority of the treatment plant is rated, the ratings are 0 to 4, with 0 being the least hazardous, 4 being the most hazardous. The various arc flash ratings, depending on the rating, it determines how close you can work in proximity to equipment, as well as the personal protective equipment that the employee is required to work on or to wear while working on that particular piece of equipment. So out of that study, one of the requirements is you have arc flash hazard labels posted at your facility. So each of our motor control centers now has labels indicating what the hazard risks are and what personal protective equipment is required. We, based on that study, we coordinated the breakers, meaning we made sure that the breakers tripped in the appropriate manner if, in fact, there was an electrical fault at the treatment plant. And we have purchased some PPE, personal protective equipment, for plant employees. I should say that the money that we used for the arc flash study was actually contained within the wastewater treatment plant budget for this year. So we spent approximately $6,500 on the study and some of the mitigation measures I've just discussed. In addition to what we've already done, in order to the one area of the treatment plant that is the highest hazard is rated as a 3, an arc flash hazard 3, is the actual admin building where our main utility power comes in. And in order to mitigate some of those risks and get the arc flash levels down when we do maintenance, we have requested that we get additional funding for installation of an arc reduction maintenance system. It's called an ARMS device that allows you to temporarily reduce the arc flash hazard while you're working on equipment downstream of the breaker in question. The cost for that purchase is approximately $6,500. The other request for money is approximately $22,000, and that is to retrofit our two main utility breakers so that they are both reconditioned, meaning that the manufacturer or the vendor goes through and makes sure that the breaker is in proper working order and doing what it's supposed to do. And it also includes a retrofit that allows the breakers to talk to the ARMS device. The current breakers do not have the correct trip unit on them that makes them compatible with that ARMS device. So all of those recommendations came out of the ARCLASH study, and you know, I've talked to Mr. Livick about it extensively. It's kind of a new for me. I'm not an electrician. It's kind of a funky subject for me. It's a little scary, actually. Originally, we had looked at spending almost $100,000 in mitigation measures, and we were able to finally, some of the light came on, and we realized that by turning the power off to the treatment plant, we can safely do some of the work and greatly reduce the risk hazard to the employees. I personally don't like to turn the power off to the treatment plant very often because you never know if it's...
I didn't have a chance to explain to everyone here. My question was, just why was this not budgeted for? It mentions on the page one under fiscal impact. Just curious as to why we didn't budget for it in advance. Thanks.
This is a fairly... ArcFlash is a fairly recent program that's been instituted by OSHA and the National Fire Protection Agency. When we realized we needed to do it, it was kind of towards the beginning of last year. We went out, we found somebody to do the study, and we had funding in the budget to do that. We didn't know what the outcome of the study would be, whether additional funding would be required or what exactly that study would indicate. Mm-hmm. So we didn't include any funding in the budget for any of the mitigation measures that were recommended. Once we found out about the recommendations in the report, we brought those forward immediately because they are a safety measure that we need to implement to protect the employees at the treatment plant. So rather than wait for the next fiscal year, we'd rather implement those changes now as soon as possible.
Thank you, Bruce, and this is a totally understandable investment considering the safety elements. So I was just curious if this is an example of an expenditure, particularly the ARMS device, something that could be transferable to the new plant when that's online, kind of if that's digging too much into the unknowns of what that new plant will be, then fine, so be it. But just kind of curious about a detail like that.
My gut guess would be that you're looking at equipment that was installed in 1984. The breakers that we use are still very much serviced and in use by numerous industries and supported by the manufacturer. But all the latest wastewater treatment plants that I have visited have a more solid state kind of upgraded electrical system. So it may or may not be compatible.
Okay, thanks.
I just want to add to that is when we do build our new wastewater treatment plant, it's going to have to be operational prior to demolishing this location. So we're going to need to keep it in operation. It would be rather difficult to take the breakers out and move them over and keep this in operation. I guess pennies could be inserted in there.
Excellent point. You've just won my sweethearts.
Nancy, any questions? No? George? Okay. Just to respond to the ArcFlash study, I do have experience in it, and obviously to protect the employees, I think Bruce did a good job in explaining it, and all the new equipment will come with the appropriate ArcFlash components to it, so it probably wouldn't be transferred, but I think Mr. Livick covered that as well. And basically, it's just the idea that any electrical hazards that the electrical is cleared, the arc is cleared. That's the whole function of that. So there's the protective equipment that you also talked about. I imagine there's more training to go on with that, and so that's just part of it, and it's something we need to do. Thanks. Turn it over to Kayukas.
Thank you. Kayukas, any questions of Bruce or comments?
Okay, seeing none.
It's hard to put a value on a human life, and any time you can identify something that mitigates a risk like that, I'm for it.
I just, Bruce, you said you had a video that you saw on safety on this that rather frightened you, and I thought that was a significant motivation in this case.
Yeah, I tried to download it off of YouTube, but I couldn't do it. There is a video on YouTube that I can, if people want to see it. It basically is a guy racking out a breaker, very similar to the breakers that we've used that I personally have probably racked out 30 times. And when he vaporizes, it kind of got my attention. I'm not doing that again.
Okay, thank you. Mayor Irons, would you like to put forward a motion on this item?
I'll put forth a motion to approve, the arc flash. Let's see, where are we at on that? Yes. Public comment. Yeah, thank you.
I'm sorry, you're supposed to remind me.
We're all supposed to be doing that. Thank you. So that'd be open.
Okay, I'll open this to public comment. Anyone wish to comment on this item? No electricians in the group, huh? Okay, thank you.
Public comment, good. Ready for a motion? I make a motion that we approve the arc flash study and funding as recommended per staff report.
Second.
The permit for the wastewater treatment plant is going to expire in March of next year. Regional board requires us to apply 6 months prior to that, so we need to get involved in the application for a permit renewal for the plant at its existing site. And Bruce will fill in all the details that I just left out.
Yeah, this item here is really an informational item for both the council and the board this evening. I don't know that you need to take action on this item. It's really brought forth to highlight the issue that is before you and remind everybody that September 1st, when our application is due, is coming quickly, and that at a staff level we need time and direction when the at the appropriate moment to ensure that we get an application to regional board in a timely manner. As Rob pointed out, we are currently, the current permit is scheduled to expire on March 1st, 2014. Our application is due September 1st, 2013. Currently, the plant operates under a 301H modified discharge permit. That permit is issued for 5 years, as are all NPDES permits. With the action by the California Coastal Commission denying the development permit for the former wastewater treatment plant project, we will have to come to a decision as to what type of permit to apply for. The two options that are really available to us right now, one is to apply for another 301H modified discharge permit, and the other is to apply for a full secondary permit with interim effluent limitations. In essence, those two permits are the same thing. The discharge will not change during that 5-year period. We will do our absolute best to maintain the high performance that we have right now, but the actual numeric values contained in those two permits will be the same. The difference is that the 301H permit could be issued again and again and again if both the regional board and EPA so desired. My understanding from regional board staff and through the last treatment permit renewal process is that if we apply for and receive a full secondary permit with interim effluent limits, that permit is issued on a one-time basis. And that permit protects you from any penalties that might occur from not meeting full secondary treatment, but the regional board can't issue it a second time. So if you go with option 2, which is applying for that full secondary permit with interim effluent limits, you in essence have a kind of a built-in time schedule, I think, to complete the upgrade project. It's a little premature to take any action at this point because we have not met with regional board staff. We had attempted to meet in late February, but that meeting, we couldn't get all the staffs corralled into the room at the right time. We do have a meeting scheduled for March 7th at 3 p.m. We will meet at a staff level and talk about both the permit renewal issues and I would assume the settlement agreement that we signed in, I think it was 2007? Eight, excuse me. So at that point, I think we will come back probably at the next meeting with a lot more information and a lot more feedback from regional board and potentially EPA on what their preferred options are and kind of the time schedules that they see us trying to complete the project in. There's also additional, in the staff report, additional discussion concerning the settlement agreement that was signed. And that was put in there just for background reference. At that time, we had agreed not to apply for another 301H waiver, but I don't think anybody's crystal balls saw the outcome that we have right now. And so, I'd look to the attorneys that, potentially we may need to renegotiate that settlement agreement. But I think, that conversation will come out of our discussions with regional board staff. There's additional, I'll reiterate that no matter what kind of permit we choose to apply for, we need to give Morro Bay staff and our consultants adequate time to prepare those applications. The full secondary treatment applications are a lot simpler than the 301H process. The 301H application is a fairly large packet of information. It takes a lot of analysis by our consultants prior to submittal to both regional board and US EPA. So this is really, this is a way to keep ringing the bell that, time is ticking and that we need to get some resolution and then bring that back to the council and the board for direction. And I'll open it up for questions.
Okay. Any questions for Bruce?
First, 301H is something we can't apply for again. And if we do the secondary permit with interim effluents, that's something that's there's no timeline on that that permit?
No, it would have a five-year window as well. All NPDES permits are issued for 5 years.
Okay. Good. Thanks.
Comments from Cayucas?
Certainly. Thank you, Bruce, for a very good staff report. It was very lucid, and I think it outlines all of the options that we have before us. But turning to a comment from the public comment period from Betty Winholtz, do you think it's rational and reasonable to expect that we could fast-track a new project and have a new wastewater sewer treatment plant up and running and, let's just say, approved in 2 years?
My professional experience at this point with the project that we've had and with the treatment plant we've had, I think it's going to be, it is an extremely ambitious timeline. Not to say that it can't get done, but it is an extremely ambitious timeline.
Okay, then further on the full secondary treatment, are we talking about essentially a capital improvement project to bring the plant up into compliance that would actually remove us from violation for BOD and solids?
The full secondary permit with interim effluent limitations would allow you to continue the discharge as is. So in essence, it is a 301H modified discharge permit painted a different color. Your numbers in the permit are going to stay the same. The monitoring and reporting program is going to stay the same. The discharge will stay the same. In the event that we can't complete a project, if we do apply for a full secondary permit with interim effluent limitations and we don't complete the project in that timeline, I would hope that we would have made substantial progress towards completion of a project and that we could go back to regional board and plead our case and try and get fines reduced. But you would certainly open the window to where they potentially could enact minimum mandatory penalties.
So for clarification then, we're not really talking about treating the effluent to a higher degree?
With the permits that we're discussing right now, no, we are not.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, any other questions from Cayucas? Michael?
Bruce, we were all at the Coastal Commission meeting or I watched it on television or on the computer. My recollection is that there was testimony from the Regional Water Quality Board and the EPA that they understood that we were behind and that they were not going to press us to meet that deadline if that meant having a bad project, that they had turned and they recognized the merits of the Coastal Commission staff's position and that they went along with their recommendation. So we basically need to take them up on that. And my suggestion, my proposal would be that Mayor Irons appoint one council member and perhaps one alternate from the city council, and that President Enns appoint one board member and one alternate to represent the JPA and accompany the staff in any meeting with the RWQCB or the EPA or these regulatory authorities. I believe it's very important that we establish dialogue and we get this information directly. Obviously, we can't all go to this, but I think it's important that we have a representative, you know, getting this information ourselves, and obviously and accompanied by Rob and Tim. I guess you were probably planning on attending the 7. Okay. And also that we maybe document that, whatever that testimony was or the letters. So anyway, that's my suggestion.
Okay. Thank you, Michael. I want to say that I'm not at all interested in ever talking about 301H again. I've already been through this for the last, I think, three times now. And 301 is a real nasty word, and I think any other alternative probably sounds better to me. The 5 years that would be available under the interim effluent limits and a secondary treatment permit, I think, appeal to me. I think we can do something in 5 years, hopefully get this process done with. Let me ask just briefly, Tim, perhaps for you, what would be the significance of having two city council people and two board members to attend the meeting with Regional?
That's the direction.
Anyone hear me?
Here, there you go.
It may take a little bit of time. First of all, it's not on the agenda, which I think I have to underscore, to appoint an ad hoc committee. So I'm not sure you can do it this evening, not that I'm trying to hold the process up. But there's nothing unusual about having two representatives from each agency participate in significant discussions like that.
Okay, I just wanted to clarify that. Thank you.
I was just suggesting one and one person in case the designated one couldn't attend
a
meeting, a backup.
Thank you, Michael. I just wanted to make sure that was an appropriate thing to do. I would also point out that when we did sign the last agreement, and I'll read this from the, I believe this is your, did you make this report, Bruce? Thank you. It says the discharger, that's Morro Bay and Cayucas, agrees not to apply for a permit that includes modifications to the full secondary discharge requirements. So what that's telling us is we have agreed and signed an agreement to not ask for another 301H. So I'd like to hold this to what we signed and what we agreed to, and I believe we can do that. So sometime between now and, I believe, September, is that right, Bruce?
That's correct.
Then I'm assuming we would see this back on our agenda for a decision by the council and board?
I'm hoping you're going to be back in March or April. I'm going to need at least 2.5 months to do a permit application.
Okay, this, correct me if I'm wrong, Tim, that this is, says discussion and consideration, so we're not taking an action tonight, is that right?
Yeah, the nature of the item is such that it's more of a discussion item.
Okay.
There's really no direction at this point until we meet with Regional and get a better understanding of what our options are.
Okay, thank you. All right, so now I've remembered, I'm going to open this to public comment. Anyone wish to comment?
Good evening. My name is David Nelson. I live in Morro Bay. And following up on Mr. Lloyd's comments and Bruce's answer, we're right back to where we were before. Well, we can't do this because we're going to build our same sewer plant. Now this comes into C4, but the question is, could we do this in 2 years or shorter, come up with a different plan and submit it? I mean, extensions of these discharge permits are kind of normal. And if we're locked into the same plant and we're going to have the same problems, we're not. How are you going to move ahead? That's true. You're not going to be able to, but there are sewer plants, and correct me if I'm wrong, Bruce, that can be installed in less than 5 years. And am I wrong on that? If I am, I'll stop right now. I mean, that's what I think. I, as part of the public who's been speaking to you over the years on this problem, that's what we're asking. We're asking for something new. We're not asking for this trench-type plant, which has served us well. It has. It's lasted a long time. But there's new technology out there that we know that we can have somebody come in and put it in, and it'll run. It'll be guaranteed, and we'll have a sewer plant. And it may not look like what we have now, but that's what change is about. We have to look at other things, and we're trusting the people on this board to do that. And that's where we fell into a big hole in the last couple of years. And a few people up there stood up and saw that problem and tried to move ahead in the right direction. And that's what we're asking you to do. And if you're asking him if we can do it, and he's telling you, no, we can't do it because we're going to build this plant, there's a problem with that. I think Betty's question went to that there are plants out there that can be developed quickly and put in place. And you can talk to the EPA, you can go online and find these things. And that's what we're asking you to do, that's all. I mean, we're not asking you to do the impossible. We're not asking you to redesign something that isn't designed already. We're just asking you to look into the options and move ahead fast. I mean, I want a new sewer plant as soon as possible. This waiver that we have is an embarrassment to our communities. I mean, we're dumping sewer into the ocean, and it's wrong. So that's the nature of the question, and I hope that we can go in that direction and think that way as opposed to thinking, well, I'm going to build this plant, so no way can I give you what you're asking. And again, I've been on public comment many times, and this is what we've been arguing, that there's other alternatives, and that's what we're asking you to look for, and that's what the Coastal Commission has ruled. And, you know, we wasted a lot of money chasing that illusion that was the only option, and there are new options, and let's look at them, that's all. Thank you.
Thank you, David. Anyone else?
Good evening, Marla Joe Bouton, North Morro Bay. I was at the regional board meeting when the JPA, Morro Bay and Cayucas, received in essence, it was the agreed to the direction that we were going to build a new plant. And the community had asked, and both boards sitting at that time had finally voted and agreed that we would go to full tertiary if possible. However, at that Regional Water Quality Board meeting where the memorandum of understanding or whatever Mr. Inns is talking about, you signed your agreement, that wasn't put in writing. And it was specifically brought up that it wasn't going to full tertiary would not be set in writing, that it was didn't need to be set in writing. Secondary is the law, and that we would move forward in the direction of full tertiary. What happened, I think we've had some very, very poor consulting and advice. First of all, the final draft EIR is done after we already have three options, and they're all on the same property for full secondary, partial tertiary, and full tertiary. And then when the EIR came out and said you can't build there, then we had a fourth option alternative that was being called. Basically, we went from a large cake box size property where the plant is now and then put it into kind of a cracker box size. And I know, I remember I was at the meeting when that was when the public was notified of that fourth alternative, and people were just like, what? You're just moving the box? The point is that that alternative should have been looked at. They weren't. Let's move forward. We don't need to hash over what's already been done, and I know that I'm doing that here, but just so that you have some insight as to what it looks like from the public watching this. And I would really, we need to talk to the regional board, the EPA, get on board, and I'd appreciate it if we do not have outside counsel appointed to go in there, or if we do, that the public knows that there's a third-party lawyer coming in and who that lawyer is representing. Because I know at the 2003 meeting, there was a high-dig lawyer in there with you guys. And we're tired of consulting and high-dig lawyers. We want a plant.
Thank you, Marla. Linda?
I'm sorry, Mr. Ans, would you repeat what you just said about tertiary, please? That there's an agreement that we can't go to tertiary? Is that true?
No, we agreed not to. I'm trying to read. It was okay, written rather backwards, so it's a good question.
Thank you.
We agreed not to apply for a permit that includes modifications to full secondary.
Oh,
if you
I'm
see,
sorry.
That's a backwards way of saying that we will meet full secondary.
Okay, thank you.
And there's something in there I think we need to point out, that there were some environmental issues that came up during this last process. NRDC was very good about reminding us. If many of you recall, there were accusations of killing otters and Tim's favorite word, ososcis, or something of that nature, that we were very concerned about, and we're still concerned about it, and we'd like to do anything we can to improve the quality of the effluent as we proceed along the path to looking at a new plant.
I'm Don Boatman from Morro Bay, and I understand what Bruce is asking for, and it sounds like it's more like 7 years from right now. But I want to see a new plant. I live in Morro Bay. I watch those tourists out on that beach every summer, and I wonder if they know what's going on in that water out there. But I think I wouldn't be so concerned with what Bruce is asking if you had a timeline. If you had some kind of a timeline so we knew when we would have a new sewer plant. Because right now, Bruce is saying, for 7 years we'll be okay. I'm sure that's not what he means. But out there in the public, what we see is, okay, you just got 7 more years to fool around. So I think you need to really work on a timeline so people understand where you're headed for. Bruce is asking, give me 7 more years. Let's see your timeline. Thank you.
OK, Okay, anyone else in the public? If not, I'll return it to the board and the council. Mayor Irons, would you like to comment?
Are there any council's questions for that from the board?
Thank you. I would like to ask Mr. Keough to discuss the letter that was sent to the chair of the Coastal Commission on December 21st from the Water Board. I wanted just to make a note at the meeting publicly about that letter and what the contents were.
I don't have the letter in front of me right now, but I would be glad to. You want me to read the letter or just kind of paraphrase?
No, I don't think you need to read the letter. It is on the website.
It basically says that Central Coast Water Board staff is willing to discuss the timing of plant upgrades and agrees not to recommend enforcement of the settlement agreement schedule for delays due to such a discussion. And I think that definitely opens the door to go to regional board and have a very concrete discussion about what the future is of the existing plant and its permit. And then I'd just like to just clarify one thing. The settlement agreement, and Tim and Rob can correct me if I'm wrong, the regional board, their mandate is full secondary treatment for ocean discharges. And it's my understanding they can't legally impose higher standards on ocean discharges. The board and council, when they made the agreement to upgrade the plant, voluntarily agreed to go to tertiary treatment. And to my knowledge as a staff member, we have never received alternative direction. There may be times when you see something in a staff report that says at least full secondary, and that's our way of saying, hey, we've got to get to full secondary treatment at the very minimum. But the mission that we have been given by the council and the district board is to build a tertiary treatment plant and put out the cleanest effluent we possibly can. And that includes some sort of reclamation is what I'm assuming in the future. And then the other thing I will say is in terms of our effluent discharge, if people want to know more about quality and quantity of what we discharge, all our monitoring reports are on the City of Morro Bay's website. They're very readable. I won't guarantee you won't go to sleep a couple times while you're going through them, but the person that authors those reports is very thorough, very knowledgeable, and they are very readable. And if you have questions when you read those reports or want more information, my door is always open at the treatment plant.
Thank you. Just had a quick question or want to give you the opportunity to describe what I've observed from the regional board is at times where a community is in violation but is working very closely with them and showing the diligence and the trust that the board is giving them that they are moving to address the problem, the board will occasionally assign a fine, but allow that fine to be basically mitigated by the construction, say, of our new plant. So that could be one of our options, say, if we need to go just beyond that 7-year window. But would you talk just briefly about that as one of our options to tiptoe just past that without?
Yeah,
not too much of a hand-slap.
My past experience with the regional board, I'm going to guess in 99-2000, the law changed a little bit. And if you violate a constituent of the permit, there is a minimum mandatory penalty. And that minimum mandatory penalty is $3,000 per violation. Prior to that time, regional board staff had the discretion to either penalize the discharger or say, hey, we don't think it was a major threat to human health and safety or the environment. You corrected it in a prompt fashion. You put in corrective measures. We are not going to fine you. That, my experience now is when the plant has had a violation of a constituent in the permit, we have paid a penalty. We've been very fortunate that the plant's been operating well. We've had very limited number of penalties over that time, and I think one of the questions we need to talk to regional board about is how much latitude they have when it comes to minimum mandatory penalties. Now, for some communities, there's a difference between waste discharge requirements and NPDES permits. There's nuances amongst the permits, but my understanding is the NPDES permits carry a minimum mandatory penalty. In the past, we have been able to do supplemental environmental projects with the penalty money that we've incurred. And most of the time, our penalties have probably varied between $3,000 and, I'm going to say, $10,000. When we have been asked to bring a supplemental environmental project forward for regional board consideration and approval, it has always been a nexus to the watershed and or potentially the monitoring program if we wanted to find out more about what was happening with certain constituents. But we weren't able to use that money on projects that we were expected to do anyways. Now, with our wastewater treatment plant upgrade, I think that's kind of a unique situation, and that's definitely something we should talk to the board about.
Particularly considering the reclamation element.
Yes.
All right, thanks. And I'll just point out to Cayucas that Morro Bay, we do have our JPA subcommittee assigned. I'm the additional member there, along with Mr. Irons, or Mayor Irons. So we were at this point and have been attending these meetings, and will be attending the regional water board meeting, and would appreciate your board to have representation there as well.
Nancy, any questions? Yeah, George?
I guess I just have another question. Thanks for following up on that. Noah, and also Bruce, for your follow-up on many of the questions out there. You know, as far as the timeline goes and being able to, you know, expedite an application process, if we get feedback at this March meeting that, you know, we have some information there that we can act on, this would be a question for both boards, whether or not we'd want to do this. Cayucas has their own board meetings. We have council meetings. If by chance we wanted to expedite this and we were able to address it in open session at our council meeting and address it and then forward it on to you, and you were able to address the same question as far as the Region Water Control Board and how we want to pursue that application, if Cayucas would want to, if they're open to doing that in the spirit of expediting this, or do we just want to wait until the next JPA meeting? So I guess I throw that out there for Cayucas.
We've done that. Thank you, Mayor Irons. We've done that in the past where things needed to be done in an efficient manner. One of the things we're very sticky about is that the motions remain exactly the same.
Okay.
And, you know, the problem becomes if it goes to us first and then the motion comes to you and your council wants to modify it a little bit, then it's got to come back to us. So if we can see the same motion, we've done that many times in the past. That can work well.
Would the rest of the board be
may I make just one comment? Mm-hmm. In looking at my calendar, March 7th is a Thursday, the first Thursday. The JPA meeting would be exactly 1 week later on the second Thursday, so I really don't see any point in doing the two separate motions. Because one meeting, I would ask Mr. Teo if he thinks that's soon enough.
Yeah, that's plenty of time. You probably have to give us a day or two. Normally, we try and get the packet out a week ahead of time. That staff report might come out a couple days later than normal. But certainly, we could capture the discussion that we had and bring it back to the board for your consideration and direction.
Great, thanks. I don't think we have any more questions. Turn it back to Cayucas.
Okay, thank you, Nancy. That in this case, that's, you're right. The meeting's a week later. We can get it done. But in the event that the schedule doesn't work like that, we certainly will work with you. I wanted to thank Bruce, and Mr. Don Boltman made a comment about the schedule, and Bruce was kind enough in anticipating that might be a question, and what he did was provided us the schedule of the project that we've been on, and regardless of the actual site, we started that process in 2005, and I don't think we ever drug our feet in the process, and it took us that long just to get to where we are. So we'll do everything we can to move along and get this thing done. Any other comments from our board?
President Enns, Dan Lloyd. Bruce, has it ever been brought up in discussions with RWQCB whether or not they would terminate ocean outfall?
I don't believe we've ever asked that question directly. My guess is that there's a number of large ocean dischargers in the state of California that would probably look at that as a precedent that they would be very interested in.
They would be interested in, or
I would think that if they banned ocean outfalls, City of Los Angeles, Orange County, and San Diego would have some issues to deal with. They're very large ocean dischargers in that region.
I just wanted to make sure. Thanks.
Okay, thank you, Dan. Any other questions, comments? Cayucas Board.
Dan Yeah, Simmons? Bruce, I think you do a great job of everything you do, and thank you for all the information you provided tonight so far. And I would support doing anything we could going forward to expedite the timeline of anything, you know, anything that within the legal boundaries we can handle. I think that would be a good idea. And I think the public and everybody would love for you, I guess it would be you, to, you know, give us a synopsis of what happens on March 7th, you know, as soon as you can. And I mean, you know, I think we're all thinking the same thing in our minds. We just express it different ways with this regards to the cloud that looms over from those agencies and our sort of, it seems like we're in a good spot to deal with them right now, I think, given what we tried to see through. So if you could do that, I think everybody would appreciate it.
Okay, thank you, Dan. I think that's all we're going to do on this item this evening. Would point out that with the meeting with Regional on the 7th, hopefully we can give you a nice report a week later. So we look forward to that.
President Enns?
Yes, sir.
I just want to make one brief comment. There's sort of a critical distinction that I think the council and board should be aware of. There's our NPDES permit that's required, but the regional board's equally insistent that we adopt a conversion schedule, which won't be a part of the permit itself. It's going to either require that we amend the settlement agreement and come up with another very tight conversion schedule that sets forth the milestones just as specifically as it's set forth in our current settlement agreement. And that's going to have to be done either through an amendment to our settlement agreement, through a time schedule order that's going to be adopted by the regional board, or by a cease and desist order that's going to set forth very specific time frames by which we're going to have to negotiate these as we did the last time. You know, they're going to set forth the EIR requirements, when construction starts, virtually every milestone that you see on the conversion schedule that's appended to this item are going to be included in this separate instrument. So we have sort of two different issues that will be melded together at one point in time. But functionally, they're entirely different. And you know, I think it needs to be clear that we're going to need to amend. The settlement agreement is still in force and effect. We have this weird letter from Regional saying you can have additional time to look at this issue. It doesn't say anything else. It doesn't say we're waiving penalties. It really says nothing but we'll allow you to go to the Coastal Commission and look at options. So that needs to be kept in the forefront of everyone's mind that the gun is still to our head and that we're going to have to develop a separate mechanism moving forward with the same specificity that we have now in our settlement agreement.
Okay, thank you for that clarification. Are there any comments on Tim's comments?
Any questions from the Morro Bay Board? No?
Okay.
Thanks. I just have one. Thanks for clarifying that. I appreciate that. And so you're, to be specific, you're bringing to our attention the NPDES permit as well as the Region Water Quality Control Board permits.
Well, we need a permit. We'll always need a permit to discharge. Mm-hmm. But the separate issue is how are you going to develop your new plant? You know, unrelated to operating the current plant, it's what are you doing moving forward? And, you know, tightening up exactly, you know, we're talking pretty nebulously about moving forward. I think the point here is a projects need to be identified quickly and a timeline established. They're going to put the gun to our head and say, where is it? What's your timeline? You know, when are you going to start the actual process of design? They're separate from the NPDES permit, which has to do with operating our current plan. So I think when we sit down with regional, both issues are going to have to be tackled, not just the, you know, you can apply for a 301H, which it seems kind of silly. I think the discussion sort of moved in that direction, although it could be used for other reasons. There's also going to be a separate discussion on how are you going to embody the time schedule moving forward, the same one you have in your current agreement for whatever project you choose moving forward.
Thank you.
All right. With that, we'll conclude item C2. And before we start item C3, I think we'd like to take a short break. We'll reconvene in about 10 minutes. Thank you, everyone, for I'll call the meeting back to order. And we'll take item C3. Apparently, there were not enough agendas to go around, and I want to apologize for that. So by way of keeping in track here, we've got item C3, C4, and C5 will be the scheduling of the next joint meeting. So we just really have two other items to discuss here. So with that, we'll take item C3, discussion and consideration of a major maintenance and repair plan for the wastewater treatment plant. Bruce, would you like to introduce this?
Sure. I don't think I have the luxury of giving it back to my boss, though. Okay, this item is titled the discussion and consideration of a major maintenance and repair plan for the wastewater treatment plant. In essence, it is the development of a capital improvements program for the treatment plant, but we chose to give it a slightly different title just because the auditor doesn't like the word capital whenever I talk to him. So we are looking at developing a list of major maintenance and repair projects that need to be addressed over the remaining life of the treatment plant as we develop the new project. I have, and in addition to that, I will say that we have, that document would basically be revisited every budget cycle. So as we go into the budget year, we would use the spreadsheet that we're going to develop as kind of a tool and a guide. We would decide if the projects that we have identified need to be developed and pursued. And that's going to depend on both the equipment in question and the condition of that equipment, as well as where we are in the time schedule for developing a new treatment plant. Now, when we developed the staff report, we have used an 8 to 10 year life for this plan, so that we would actually put a 10 year schedule together to look at various pieces of equipment over that time frame. I know that's a sensitive subject, and that's why I was trying to just kind of head that one off at the pass, that it's really a list of major projects that we are going to pursue, and it's going to help the district and the city develop budgets as we come into each fiscal year. With that, I'll go into a little more detail on the rest of the staff report. As everybody's aware, the permit was denied, and we are looking at some time period that the existing treatment plant has to continue to perform. The driving force behind the original upgrade project was that the useful life of the treatment plant is approximately 30 years, which basically means that the structures are still, they're not going to fall apart and disappear at the end of 30 years, but the equipment gets old. It needs some tender loving care and a facelift. And that's really what drove the time schedule that we have right now. Coupled with that was the 301H, the permitting issues associated with the 301H waiver. So in order to keep the plant moving forward, we are going to have to do something as we go forward. In terms of developing the major maintenance and repair program, in terms of developing that that piece of work, there's two ways to approach it. One is to do it sort of an in-house approach where we utilize the engineering department and wastewater treatment plant staff to develop the MMRP and then have that work sort of peer-reviewed by an outside engineering firm to make sure that we haven't missed, that our assumptions are good and we haven't missed any major pieces of equipment or, repairs that we need to follow. The second option is to hire an outside consultant to develop the entire MMRP. This would require an RFP process for the selection of the consultant. There are numerous engineering firms that are capable of performing this for Morro Bay and Cayucas. This approach is more of a turnkey approach in terms of they're going to write the report, they're going to do the presentation. That being said, the engineering division and treatment plant staff would still be intimately involved in that process because we still have to provide them with historical data, with where we think we need, where our weak spots are, where we need to work on. So the pros and cons of those two options are that the city does have a trained professional engineering staff capable of developing this work product. We do probably lack some of the specialized skills that may be found in a major engineering firm, but those could be contracted out as needed. The MMRP is linked to several other issues, including the permit renewal cycle, the siting decision, and the future treatment method, and the budget cycle. So it may be advantageous to actually develop the MMRP in stages. So we would bring back the initial stage probably in the next 4 months in time for budget preparation. But we may not have a 10-year schedule totally in place by that time because we still may be in discussions with regional board staff, EPA, and any numerous other agencies. I'm just looking at what the nature of the funding decisions regarding replacement versus repair of aged equipment and facilities requires extensive specialized experience in wastewater treatment plant design, operations, and technology trends. In-house engineers, we tend to be generalists, so as I said earlier, we may need to actually hire a consultant to perform various analyses. One of them might be structural engineering if we're looking at digesters. Both options should allow fairly similar time frames to complete the MMRP. The in-house option certainly allows us to jump on it a little quicker. That being said, because we don't have to go out for RFP, that being said, an outside consultant might be able to deliver the product slightly quicker once they're on board because they have the requisite staff to kind of do the turnkey approach and really throw a lot of staff time at it. The in-house option is probably going to be less expensive as our staff would be utilized to perform the vast majority of the work. Regardless of that, a project budget would need to be established that allows us to access specialized professionals as required. We would probably have to come back with budget estimates as we move through that process. We really don't have a firm handle on the funding requirements right now. The failure of any one of our wastewater treatment plant processes would place significant financial liability on both the city and the district. And if a consultant is utilized, they may share in that liability. Regardless of the options, the city and the district will need to discuss cost allocation and whether the MMRP would be based on flow or ownership capacities. That's been our age-old question. In terms of the scope of work that would be developed, in 2009, we developed a CIP for the treatment plant that carried us through 2014. It looked at mostly equipment replacement and repair. The difference in this proposal is that we would be looking at some of the structural integrity of some of the structures, such as digesters, chlorine contact tanks, and it would be a little more robust in that analysis. Many of the structures that I just referred to were not addressed in the 2009 CIP because those structures were going to be retired when the new plant was built and online in 2014. So it's the recommendation of Morro Bay and Cayuga staff that we include structural analysis of some of the facilities as well. In terms of the approach, we, Morro Bay and Cayuga staff, have agreed that utilizing the framework of the existing CIP that was performed by Canon in 2009, at the same time incorporating the information contained in Chapter 6 of the Facility Master Plan, would be a good starting point for the MMRP. Chapter 6 of the Facility Master Plan that was performed by Carollo basically looked at the status and the condition of the treatment plant in 2006 and made recommendations as to whether or not to keep certain structures, certain pieces of equipment, based on the age and condition of those structures and equipment. But it does give us a good starting point for the MMRP. It's critical that the MMRP, as envisioned, is designed to estimate costs associated with maintaining the plant as it is currently operated. Defining the scope thoroughly will clearly delineate the expectations of the finished product. If the Council and Board wish to explore projects associated with enhancing plant performance, they need to provide this direction to staff up front. Currently, the MMRP, as envisioned, would be to continue the plant's operation as designed at this time. So if the desire is to achieve a higher level of treatment, that would certainly need to be brought forth early in that conversation or put on a parallel track with a separate and continued analysis. The future use of the MMRP, it's basically a planning and budgeting tool. So every year when we go to develop budgets for the wastewater treatment plant, we would look at the recommendations in the MMRP. As I said earlier, we would determine whether those projects need to be conducted, developed, and pursued, or whether they can be deferred for another year or entirely put off, depending on the status of the upgrade project. With that, I think I'd just open it up for questions.
Okay. Mayor Irons, would Morro Bay like to start?
Certainly. Thank you. Turn it over to questions for council. None for Noah. Christine? Nancy or George?
Just a quick one. I know you say that the in-house option is probably less expensive. Do you have any estimates as to which would be done more quickly, in-house or hiring an engineer?
I think the in-house may take slightly longer. You're going to get a quicker jump on it, but once you bring the consultant on board, I think they might actually be able to turn that work product around faster. You have to remember that the engineering division has other tasks and obligations, and they're not 100% wastewater treatment plant engineers at this point, but I think either one is probably going to come out about the same time period is what I would guess.
George, any questions? None for me right now. I'll turn it over to Cayucas.
Thank you. Cayucas, questions? Dan?
I'll probably have some questions after I hear from public.
Okay.
On this.
Michael?
I have a couple.
Okay.
First of all, I know this time frame is sensitive, but I'd just like to point out that if you're basing a 10-year time frame on the DUDEC 10-year development window for the Rigetti property, you know, it's important to keep in mind that was done to demonstrate the additional costs that would be incurred in moving the plant to the Rigetti property. So I think that there's sort of a bias built into that, and I don't know that that's kind of a factual basis for entering into another consulting study. I'm not saying that it isn't bad. I just don't think that that should be the basis for determining a 10-year study. The other thing I wanted to ask you is, you know, on page 4, number 6, the failure of any one of the many WWTP processes would place significant financial liability on the MBCSD. You know, could you give me an example of that? And go ahead. Can you give me an example of that?
Let's say a bearing went out on our secondary clarifier and the arm stopped turning. We wouldn't be able to completely treat the effluent, and we may have violate our discharge permit requirements, and there would be certain liabilities due to that failure. Or chlorine contact chamber fails, and we cannot disinfect wastewater before it goes out into the ocean. There would be liabilities for that. There's a statement in there that the consultant might share in that liability. I think that's kind of speculative at this point. I've been a consultant before, and we like to strike those terms in the contract. It's only due to our negligence, not things that we don't have control over when performing our work. So,
that's my point. Is you know, a lot of these failures are, you know, you can't predict when a lot of these things are going to fail. This isn't really my area, but I'm just wondering if the $75,000 to $100,000, could that be better spent in simply acquiring redundancy, having another bearing, as an example, rather than kind of evaluating the condition of the bearings?
I think that is an option. I probably oversimplified it by just saying bearing. Based on recent local experience with wastewater agencies failing to perform maintenance have resulted in severe penalties, all we have to do is look to the south of us, to South County Sanitary District, where they had failed to perform certain upgrades to their plant and maintain certain structures. They tried to use the active nature defense, and it really didn't go anywhere because these are things that they knew were possibilities of happening, yet they failed to upgrade and maintain their structures to prevent that from happening.
It wasn't the South County, actually. That was a human error. That was a valve that was left open or something, wasn't it? Anyway, I don't remember. But I guess my point is, you probably know, you and the staff probably know what is, like you said on the screens, what's in the most imminent danger of failure. I mean, I guess my question is would the money be better spent in simply putting into the materials of the plant rather than a study of
that
condition?
In a lot of ways, I understand your question, and I agree with you. In order to develop the MMRP, we're going to need wastewater treatment plant staff is going to need some specialized expertise. It's going to need some engineering background to help us get through that process. In terms of redundancy, the treatment plant is incredibly redundant. We only have one secondary clarifier, and we have failure of that clarifier would not be a good thing if there's a long-term period. Now, in terms of a bearing, we just lost a bearing in a primary clarifier. We put new clarifier drives in 10 years ago. Useful life is about 10 years of those pieces of equipment. We were fortunate that we could drain that primary clarifier, call in an expert from the manufacturer, he assisted us in rebuilding that drive unit, and we had it back online in 3 days. If there was a catastrophic failure of other parts of that drive unit and it took any period of time, we would probably be operating on primary treatment for an extended period, and you would probably incur some sort of financial penalties for that. And believe me, I think about it all day long, and sometimes I think about it all night long. But, you know, that's one of the issues that I would like to see resolved, is somehow we get another secondary clarifier. That's my wildest wish, but I think I need a CDP and a bunch of other permits to do it, and I don't know if that's possible right now.
Will a study like this sort of identify specifically enough the conditions of the components of that secondary clarifier to know, you know, what needs to be replaced in order of its you know failure?
That's one of the things that we would look at. We would do that for everything in the treatment plant. And actually, it
seems like that's kind of implausible to me.
Okay, thank you, Michael. Shirley, any questions? Dan? Okay, I'll just make a brief comment. Bruce, when did you start working at the plant?
95.
So Bruce has been around this plant since 95. He's also been involved with the upgrade project since its very inception. I'd say there's no one in the room that has more experience and knowledge about that plant than Bruce Keough. Over the years, I've earned great respect for Bruce and his ability. There's no doubt in my mind that with Bruce on board, Rick Kuhn from our office, Rob Livick, I'm assuming, would be involved in terms of helping us with when we need permits and what can be done and what can't be done. I would have every confidence in those three people to at least lay out a plan. And as Bruce says, to bring in a consultant as needed and trust Bruce's judgment on when he needed that, to at least do the preliminary work so that we'd have something to do, how to do our budget for next year. With that, I'd like to open it to the public.
Don Boltman, Morro Bay again. I was a maintenance foreman at PG&E. I'm not bragging about that, but for 15 years, I had 69 high-voltage substations I was responsible for, and no one had to really tell me how to maintain that too much because we knew, and customer outages were big deals, just like outages at sewer plants. But back to the subject, I didn't understand this conversation, whether it's a maintenance-type conversation or whether it's a plant modification and rebuilding discussion. If we get the permit and we have 10 years before we have to have a new plant, and we have our timeline so we know when we start using a part of that plant, then we're talking probably some maintenance. And I know that bearings are the biggest failure in these plants. But I'm real confused by this conversation. I hear 10 years over here. You know, will it last 10 years? We want to build a second clarifier. It makes it sound like we're not thinking about building a new plant somewhere. And so... Again, I'm having a hard time. At first, I thought we were talking maintenance, and then it starts sounding more like capital projects. I really am confused about that. Thanks.
Marla Jo Bruton, North Morro Bay. First of all, it's been stated that all of our contracts with our consultants and I would think engineering firms on this project building the new wastewater treatment plant are terminated, but I think what I'm hearing tonight is that we still have a contract with Canon Engineering, and looks like that started in 2009, which was the time that our complete and circulate draft CEQA document, February 27, 2009. I believe I saw in this document that Canon was hired in 2009. And I would be very much interested in having the elected officials up here check in with Canon and see what their task is. Is their task to rebuild this plant to secondary in 10 years? Is that what they're working on? It kind of sounds like that to me. And I think the gentleman that was just up here speaking about, is it maintenance or is it capital improvement, is a very good point. And I think the public deserves to know exactly what Canon is working on at this point and since 2009. Thank you.
Anyone else?
Barbara Doerr, Morrill Bay. In reading through the staff report today, I certainly support the in-house version that seemed to be Mr. Livek's recommendation, plus review by engineers or consultants as necessary. Seems a good way to go. We're seeking a new NPDES permit that's 5 years plus the upcoming year. When I read this and I saw we were looking at an MMRP for 8 to 10 years, I mean, I was just appalled. I mean, we need to build a new sewer treatment plant, move along expeditiously, and to even be considering 8 to 10 years for this plan, I think it sets the wrong tone. A lot of people in these communities were on one side or the other. Should we move the plant or should we keep it where it is? A lot of people are very unhappy, and there's a lot of cynicism, and there's a lot of mistruths going out there about the plant, comparing it to Los Osos, comparing it to whatever dastardly thing that could happen. But I think the whole effort of this group has to be move along rapidly, work together cooperatively, and set it as a 6-year plan to go along with our NPDES permit, and assume we'll be done with the waterfront, you know, wastewater treatment plant in 6 years and be ready to move ahead on a new project. So I think it's a mistake, and I think there are people who will say, look, there, see this plan? They're planning on maintaining that plant for 8, 10 more years. See, it says 10 years. They're never going to build a new one. You know, see, we've been telling you all along. We have to have a realistic plan, make it, you know, 6 years at the maximum. If you need to come back, have a fail-safe. Come back and come up with another mini plan to maintain it if you need to. When you go for your next NPDES permit. Thank you.
Good evening, JPA Council. Barry Brannon, Morrill Bay. Bruce does a fantastic job of maintaining the plant. I've been through it. I've been through all the details. And I'm sure Bruce does think about the plant at night, because it's just one of those things that he is. He's very noteworthy. When he goes to the plant early in the morning, he comes by my house and checks the surf, but that's just one of the side benefits. But he's there, and he goes very slowly getting there. But my point is that Bruce knows how to take care of the plant. And I don't think he's trying to find a way to do it and take care of it. Maybe he thinks he's been led to believe that he needs this 10-year program. But I think an annual budget for maintenance, maybe 2-year budget for maintenance, looking at the items. If the years of experience he has, I bet you he can sit down with a 8.5 by 11 paper and he can tell you every item in that plant that's critical. And for the cost to have a redundant part, a bearing or whatever, a drive unit, yeah, they're expensive. But I know when I ran some big plants, redundancy was no question, because the fire trucks have got to go. You've got to get it done. So I don't think this big project, number one, it sends a bad message, and number two, we have the tools and the people already, and I believe with proper budgeting, maybe make a two-year budget so that it makes a little more sense. But I believe you have the tools already, and I think that perception is reality, and this is a bad perception.
Good evening again, Bill Martini, Morro Bay. I was a little confused on, I totally understand maintenance until the new plant is built, but I wasn't sure if I misunderstood or not that you are going to be upgrading the existing plant to a higher water quality. If we're going to be hopefully shutting it down in a couple years or whatever length it takes, I can absolutely see maintaining the existing plant, but I can't see if we're, unless it's necessary in the permitting process, and maybe I miss that, but if it's not necessary, I can't see upgrading and spending more money to upgrade the quality of water if it's strictly going out in the ocean and meets current specs if we're going to actually be shutting it down and building a new plant. So that's where I was confused. Totally understand maintenance, but if we're going to be taking the water quality up another notch or so. Thank you.
Nancy Bass, Morro Bay. It seems to me that when he talked about phasing the maintenance, it made sense so that we don't have to look at 8 to 10 years. I heartily agree with all the previous speakers. And I think we have a real bad taste in our mouth about consultants. If I hear a consultant name like Dennis Delzide or MWH or Corolla, I think everybody's going to flip out. And I know we have the talent in the house, it sounds like to me. So let's do that in a phased maintenance program, so that we can start getting to the real point, which is building a new plant, securing some property, and going at it. We haven't even begun to talk about that yet. Nothing's on the agenda. Let's get the property. And that's what we're really here for. Thank you.
Okay, anyone else? I'll bring it back then to the board and the council. Mayor Irons, would you like to start?
Certainly, thanks. I'll turn it over to questions for the board and start at the end. Ms. Johnson, Christine?
Yes, thank you. I would like to ask, give this opportunity to Mr. Keough to respond to the several comments about the phasing of maintenance and what would that kind of calendar look like?
I think that might be a matter of semantics here, but I think we're all talking about the same thing. We're talking about putting a program together, whether it's short-term, long-term, and that's up to the discretion of the council and the board of how long they want us to peer into the future, but it's basically a list of major maintenance projects. And I should note that, you know, Mr. Boatman's comment about capital versus the major maintenance plan, on page 2 of the staff report, it says that we kind of had that discussion. We, in the past, have pursued what I would deem capital projects. The auditor has disagreed and called them maintenance and rolled them back into our operations and maintenance budget. So rather than call it a CIP, we chose to differentiate and call it an MMRP. So for the purposes of this discussion, staff has shifted terminology to more accurately characterize the nature of the work that will comprise these major rehabilitation projects. The proposed MMRP will include only maintenance and repair work that is essential to ensure a high level of efficiency for plant performance and keep the plant in compliance with the current NPDES discharge permit.
The current this staff report does not touch on, hey, let's move to full secondary. And if there's confusion there, I apologize. It wasn't the easiest thing for me to write. But I think basically we're talking about a phased approach. Some of the items that we're talking about are not inexpensive. The screening units at the headworks are near the end of their useful life. And to replace those units, you're probably looking someplace on the order of $400,000. So there are going to be some, while it increases the performance of that particular process, the end result is that the effluent discharged is going to be the same basic effluent that we have now. So the plan is not to upgrade the plant to secondary treatment at this, based on this staff report. It's simply to implement a budget and planning tool that the boards in the district can use to project their financial needs as time goes on. I think my personal opinion would be that you might want to go farther than 2 years. If you don't, you know, I apologize. I put the 8 to 10 years in there. My job is to be conservative, and my job is to make sure that the plant performs no matter how long it has to remain. So if you choose to shorten that time frame, certainly there are going to be sewer rate discussions that will come forward, and I think it's at least in the city council's best interest, and I can't speak for the district, but I would think it's in their best interest to have, whether it be a five-year plan in place, so that if they have to study rates, they can plug the capital, major replacement and repair costs into those discussions so that they can adequately address their rate studies. And I think that's one of the reasons you may want to stretch it out to that 6-year period rather than that 2-year period, but that's the discretion of the boards.
I just want to add one more thing to the idea of a timeline, whether it be 2, 6, 10, 30, 50 years, whatever you want to talk about. We're going to assess the entire plant. We're not going to look at 2 years' worth of plant. We're going to assess the entire plant. We'll have more projects there than we could possibly accomplish in a given time period. We're going to prioritize those on a yearly basis, and we're not going to do any more than we need to get us where we need to be at the end of this window of plant, new plant that we have. So we may end up, if we were to do everything that we assess, 20 years worth of projects. We're not going to do all those 20 years worth of projects. We're going to prioritize those projects, do the most important ones, the critical ones, as they need to get done. Thank you.
I just have one follow-up then. In our discussion on the telephone earlier, Mr. Keough, we talked about a yearly review of this plan.
Yeah, that's correct. In the past, we, somebody referred to Canon earlier. Canon is currently not under contract by the city and district. They performed the CIP that was developed in 2009, and when that work product was done, their contract was terminated. So they're not currently under contract. But we have taken that work product, and when I sit down with my staff to develop an annual budget and determine. We look at those tables. Mr. Enns remembers Table 7 from the Boyle study many, many, many years ago. This is kind of a new Table 7. It basically it's an outline. And we take that outline and look at which projects we need to pursue. Sometimes we have projects that we didn't anticipate, and we plug those into the budget. But each and every year, we use that as a budgetary tool, and we revisit that. And certainly now that we're moving forward again on an upgrade project, we would factor, that's another one of the factors that we put into the equation as we build the budget.
Thank you. My only question, then I'll transition to comments, is in the scenario where we work on this in-house with the phased approach, as you mentioned, we would probably be getting some double check work done with a consultant. How would you envision at this point, without any board direction, the selection of that specific consultant?
I would assume that we would reach out and if the board wished us to go out for an RFP, but I don't think you're looking at that. The monetary value is going to be that great for that review process. So I would assume that we would tap somebody like maybe a Canon because they assisted us in the last CIP to just review the work and then provide feedback to us.
Okay, thank you. If you don't mind, Mayor Ayers, if I go into general comments or you want to go through questions?
We can go through questions, please. Okay. Thanks for asking. Nancy? No? None? George? I have a couple questions and then turn it back to you. So just to be clear, that I'm just reiterating what we've just talked about. The MMRP is basically a plant assessment, and then once that assessment's done, we get to prioritize whether it's 2, 5, or as Mr. Livick suggested, 30 some odd years. But basically it's an assessment. We prioritize the equipment, and we determine that this is how we're going to be able to operate the facility for the determined time, and you know, we can hope for 2 or 5 years until we can get the new plant up and running. So the assessment's going to go forward, then it comes back here, and then we discuss how it's prioritized to last those specific term. Correct?
That's correct.
Okay. So kind of the semantics of, how it was read here, how it came across, but generally that's the way it's going to come across. Okay. And then I guess the other question for you would be on the in-house versus consultant. And I guess the one concern I have is our staff time during that process. And, if we have other workload and priorities from a city standpoint, how are we going to be able to proceed with some of our own priorities if our staff is responsible for this study? So I see the mic going over to Mr. Livick, and great to hear a response on that.
We have a small group of engineers that work for the city, and we have a variety of projects that we work on. Mm-hmm. Not all those projects require 100% work effort all the time. We change our priorities fairly regularly. It depends on what the needs are out there. I think between myself and Mr. Sauerwein, we have a lot of experience managing projects, and we know how to manage our priorities. So we would do the most important critical items first and the lesser items after that. So if there were a bottleneck and we had 5 projects that had to be done at the same time, I think we would make that clear to the council and the board that we may need some outside assistance to help us with this. But we can let you know that enough ahead of time so we're not in crisis mode either.
Right. And thanks for that. I think it's important for Cayucas Board as well, because as we lay out priorities for our city, there's going to be some a balance and exchange there. So we have to lay out our priorities, and now we have a shared priority. So I guess I want to throw that discussion out for our Cayucas board members as well, because if we're looking for a timeline, then we want to be able to meet that timeline. It kind of seems cleaner and simpler to have a consultant do this, and that's just my opinion, but I want to throw it out for some more discussion. And then, Mr. Smucker, I know you had some comments as well before we turn it back over to Cayucas, if you want to comment.
Yeah, I think you bring up some really good points there, and I was thinking that myself, knowing the workload that we have with items across the city, and obviously this being one of the premier priorities that we're undertaking. I appreciate the conversation about involving Mr. Coons as much as that makes sense and is appropriate and is helpful. Personally, I I'm inclined to move forward with the in-house approach, knowing that we're working off some existing documents, the 2009 CIP, and you mentioned also the facility master plan. And I think that is helpful in getting us to a point where we have a working document that helps us manage the budget and anticipate as much as possible the expenses that we might undertake and run into. I also am concerned about the 8 to 10 year time frame. I think the public brought up some really good points about that tone that that sets, and ultimately I don't see us having the luxury of being able to wait that long to get the new plant online. So I would prefer to reduce that at a maximum 6 to 8 years in this analysis, or even shorter, knowing that we can update this as we move forward, and understand that we're basically just working to maintain the plants, and it will be demolished as soon as the new plant's online. That's going to be part of the process, so we can make sure that we're not wasting money investing into this plant, which saves us those resources. So I think I'd prefer the in-house, although I am sensitive to your point, and I think it's a good one.
Okay, with that, I'll turn it back over to Cayucas. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Comments from Cayucas. Dan?
Yes, Mr. President. First of all, I'd like to thank the public for expressing your concern and confusion regarding exactly what we're really talking about here. As I understand it, I think I can echo the same opinions or perspective that the city of Morro Bay has, that this is a plant that is in need of repeated or remedial attention on an ongoing basis, that is somewhat hard to anticipate, but yet something that is within their wheelhouse and something that they can do. So I think it's really important that you're here to add to the discussion. I, too, am very concerned about expenses, particularly from the consulting side, and certainly my experience has been being a consultant and owning an engineering consulting firm. I understand how we can get too far afield if we're not adequately, monitoring the efforts of our consultants, because they're not there on a day-to-day basis. So at the risk of moving ahead too quickly here, when the moment is correct, President Enns, I have a motion that I'm prepared to make that I think encapsulates the general feeling of this JPA, and at the right time, I would be willing to offer that motion.
Let me just clarify with Tim. Are we to make a motion on this? Is this an action item?
There you go.
It describes as discussion and consideration. Yeah, it's susceptible to a motion.
Okay, Dan, I'll come back to you after we've heard from our other board members, and I appreciate that. Thank you. Shirley?
Thank you. Having read this report, which I think is excellent, by the way, I really feel that it would be better to have a hands-on in-house rather than reach out to a consultant at this time. And I think that we can depend upon them to do a good job and a thorough job for the needs that we have.
Dan Chivins.
Thank you. Yeah, I think Rob did a great job of describing kind of what I was picturing this timeline being like, which is really flexible, it sounds like. As far as consulting goes, I've got my fingers double crossed that we can, somehow utilize the largest consultant expenditure since I've been around here, which was the DUDEC report down the road with what we got coming up next, it looks like, here on the agenda. But I would, using that as an example, be in favor of utilizing our staff, who knows best. And we do have a lot of confidence in our district manager, Rick, too. I think he could, in other areas especially, be a big help down the road here. So anyway, I would support that if that is the motion that's going to be coming forward.
Michael, any comments? Okay. Dan, would you like to put forward a motion?
Sure, love to. And again, I would like to echo the same comments. Bruce, very good job. This is my first staff report that I've seen on a JPA, and I really was amazed at just how much information is really contained within the report. So I'm real happy with that. Now, obviously, with a motion, there's always a second. And for clarity purposes, maybe it's from council here, is the process that we, Cayucas, take an action, it's separate, and then Morro Bay has the right to modify or chime in? Can you give me some direction here?
Well, under our JPA, they'd have to be mirror image motions.
Okay.
But we're not really acting under our JPA. Well, actually, this item is a JPA.
Yeah, it's a JPA.
It has to be a mirror image motion.
Okay.
So whatever motion you make, assuming it's approved, would have to be
concurred.
Repeated by Morro Bay and also approved if the action's going to be sustained.
Good.
Give it a try.
And I would imagine in that same token, just for a second, is that we could entertain amendments
yep.
to the motion also. Which could make this a little tough, but I think I've made this as clean and as generic as possible, given the conversation I've heard so far. Okay, we'll give it a try. You want to ready? Okay, this is a motion in three parts. And for the record keeper, Danielle, this is written out so that you can have it later, so we can always go back to this, and hopefully I won't stray too much from my notes. Item one. Direct staff to prepare a time-sensitive and prioritized MMRP for the wastewater treatment plant with an anticipated rolling two-year budget. Number two, that we solicit proposals from a qualified firm or firms to provide technical advice and analysis on an as-needed basis as determined by the wastewater plant division manager, and the CSD manager. Number three, the wastewater division manager and the CSD manager report back to the JPA on a semi-annual basis on progress and costs associated with the MMRP. So by definition, what I'm trying to do is get us into a two-year rolling budget, come back to the JPA every 6 months on a report basis, and that we solicit proposals from qualified firms to provide technical assistance and analysis on an as-needed basis as determined by the two managers of the district. And I'm happy to reread that if there's any, because I know this is a lot of information and a lot of direction.
Okay, I'll need a second from the board.
I'll second.
I have a motion by Dan Lloyd, second by Shirley Lyon. Any other discussion, Cayucas? I like your motion, Dan. I think it covers the gist of everything I've heard here. I think it's very appropriate. So with that, I'll ask for a vote. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None. Mayor Irons.
Thank you. That was quite a succinct motion. Same motion for Morro Bay. We would need, is there concurrence for that or any discussion?
Just a quick discussion. I just wanted to check in with staff on that. Is that clear to you? That reads as you've presented maintenance and operations to the minimum, and is there any other points that you think we need to clarify there, or how does that feel to you?
I think it's fine. Maybe more appropriate to have the city manager or public services director be the person that authorizes the consultant contract.
Good point. I bet Mr. Lloyd didn't recognize that, and I think that's because you have the reporting to the board. I think that is something I could support. So, if you wouldn't mind making that amendment, I think that will help.
So, if you guys, we'll turn it back to you, Cayucas.
Tim, can you see that it's possible that the motion as it stands would allow Rod Livick to do that on as a part of his job description?
I think you could just say so moved, and if that flies, it would work. All they're asking is a change in the designation from the wastewater treatment plant division manager to his boss. Is
okay.
that correct?
Yeah.
he's a little nervous right now.
What do they say about that stuff flows uphill?
What I'd ask then, Mayor Irons, is that you go ahead and pass the motion with your, and then make two,
yep.
so that then we can pass the same motion on the Second Amendment. So pass the first one, then pass another one with the amendment, and then we'll make a motion to make the amendment.
Okay. Did everybody get that? So we'll continue the same motion. We need a second for the same motion from Cayucas, and then we'll make an amendment from what you read. Noah, okay.
I will make the same motion and look forward
as
to the
read.
Amendment. As read.
Okay. I'll second it. Any more discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? None. Motion carries. Now we bring back to an amended motion for the same motion.
Yes, I would like to amend to read the Public Services Director has the overriding ability to confirm the consultant.
Second.
Second, okay. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? None. Okay, motion carries.
Thank you, Mayor.
Back to Cayucas.
So we would need a motion for the amendment. Dan, would you like to make that?
Yeah, I so move that we approve the same amended motion as Morro Bay's.
Very good.
Second.
Shirley, do you? Michael, are you?
Second.
Okay, motion by Dan Lloyd. Danielle, you back there? Second by Michael Foster. Any other discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion carries 5-0. Next item. I'd like to point out something here just before we take this next item. And Dan made a comment about the public's input here and how that worked for us. And I'd like to refer to the process that we're using where we discuss it. You hear what we're talking about. You come up. You have your input. In this case, that 8 to 10 years, and it made a difference in how we made the motion. We made it 2 years. Allows us to come back and at least talk about what you said, consider it, and I think it worked very well for us. So with that, we'll take item C4, discussion and consideration regarding the next steps for the wastewater treatment plant upgrade project. And we do have a short report on that. And it's summarized at the bottom of our report here. It talks about options. The first item is options for the new wastewater treatment plant projects. Second item will be coordination with Regional Quality Water Control Board. And the third item will be use of consultants. So we'll take the first item first, which will be options for a new wastewater treatment plant project or projects. With that, I want to say that given the circumstances and how we got to where we are, Cayucas recognizes that Morro Bay is the host city in this new treatment plant. We respect that you have your wishes and your needs in that regard. And Cayucas, I believe, would like to ask Morro Bay what their vision is for the future, and let us respond. And before I say any more, I'm going to ask if there are any comments from our board along those lines. Okay, seeing none, I'll ask Mayor Irons to take the floor.
All right, thank you. Just to be clear, I know we have a list of general discussion items, but as I understand it, it is general discussion, and we can add general discussion items. Okay, good. Then with that proposal, I would turn it over to our board members for comments and their in response to Cayucas and what our vision would be. But I think first off, I just turn it over for general comments. And George, would you like to start?
Well, I'm going to go to your lead down there, and we'll see what they say.
I say, yeah.
Okay, I'm at this time, I don't want to make a comment. I'll wait a little later.
Okay, thanks. Nancy?
No comment.
Noah?
Yeah, thank you. I just wanted to start by saying that it was definitely worthwhile and beneficial for us to sit down with the board and staff, with Mr. Enns, a couple weeks back and try to get working forward now at this point on the new project. I've said, and the public said, I think we all recognize how critical it is that we are productive and expedite this process to the highest degree possible, recognizing that there will be important times for us to check in with the public and make sure that they're coming along with us. Going forward, I think there are some obvious things that we need to address and get out on the table. I've heard that there are some different options that are, it's mostly rumors, but that Cayucas may be interested in looking at that would be separate from operating a plant together. And I think that's certainly your prerogative, and I would understand that you'd want to do your due diligence about that, because this is an important partnership, and this decision coming up will to make it quickly, we'll need to address that as soon as possible. So I think my request back to Cayucas would be, if there are these options, that's understandable, and I would want those to be put on the table, give you guys the time you would need to evaluate them and move through that period as quickly as possible so we can really start to get in line. And I would say at that same point from Morro Bayside, we'll need to keep moving forward as well. And so you are aware we're already in the process of evaluating what the Rigetti site will be appraised for. We're asking for an appraisal there, obviously, as that being the least costly of the alternative sites that were analyzed. So I think that there are opportunities for us to work very closely together, and I'm hopeful that we would recognize there might be times where we need to work separately and then come together if we want to keep on going forward. And ultimately, my assumption is that because of the shared costs, it will be the most affordable and economic for us to continue our partnership. I think it's obvious that for that to work, we're going to need to reopen the JPA agreements and discuss what the foundation of our relationship is going forward as a key part to that. And, you know, just as an example of the capital improvements plan that we just discussed, there's still that question hanging about how we will break up costs, and it would be helpful to take that head on and address, okay, what is the most what is the fairest way for us to share those costs for the current plant as we get through this point to the construction of the new plant. So that's something that I'm looking forward to us working through. It's been suggested that we will need a project manager. I think that's definitely worth conversation. I believe that after our meeting with the Regional Water Board and leading up to this next March meeting, we will want to at least come up with a draft project schedule and timeline based on that conversation, and then looking internally at what we can accomplish. It's been said that 10 years would be an estimated time to complete a new project, what I hear and understand is that's based on what we've seen in the past as far as our working relationship between Cayucas and Morro Bay and working with the public and the regulators. And I aspire to being able to create a much
more inclusive relationship on all those levels and be able to expedite this process in doing so. And I think that's possible. I think we can very much focus and deliver this project on time and remove those concerns about fines and also about increased costs with keeping the current plant in operation, which to me is the most concerning. I think that's the most that has the most potential to hurt us financially. Something I would suggest as well is we've never really sat down together and talked about goals and objectives of the project. What are the benefits? What are we trying to accomplish? And for a project this size, that seems like a natural thing to do. We did that in, I believe it was 2010, we had an item that was kind of looking at success criteria from the city's perspective, and we barely touched base on it at a JPA meeting, and it was kind of in the flurry of developing the old project. I'd like to revisit that, and if we are going forward together, that we actually get a chance to look at each other's ideas about what that would look like and actually approve something as a joint body that can help be our guide going forward and be something that we refer to as we look at how well did we achieve these goals and you know be the leaders that I think the community is asking us to be. So that's my comments, and look forward to talking more.
Christine.
Thank you. I definitely appreciate Councilmember Smuckler's experience on the board. He's had more time than I have had. He's had 4 years here, so I think we have the benefit of his experience, and I think that that also helps that many of the Cayucas board members have also had some experience. I think it helps us historically and then also helps us to move forward. I just wanted to make a note about a quote someone told me recently. I believe it was Woodrow Wilson, but I could be wrong. And the quote is, if you want to make enemies, try and change something. And I certainly do not believe that anyone on the board or anyone in our communities would want us to view ourselves as enemies in any way. And I think as soon as we can move beyond any kind of a tone that would come from either community that infers that that's what this will become between the board members here, that I think we need to quickly scuttle that and move forward as quickly as possible. With that, there is one thing that Council Member Smuckler did not yet bring up, and I would just like to mention that we do have an audit, and our latest audit for the JPA was done, well, it was on the year 2010-11, and it was presented to this JPA board on September 13th meeting. So that would be the audit for the year 2010-11 presented on September 2012. So I don't know, and perhaps we're not going to have an answer on that this evening, but I would like to get a sense of when the next audit might be scheduled for the JPA. I think at this juncture it makes sense to look at the finances and dig into those, and certainly the year has already ended for 11-12, but we've had quite a lot of activity up to this point. So perhaps the auditors would give us direction on which way we would go with that kind of an audit, if it would be maybe 12 months plus a little bit more. So I'd just like to bring that up and enter that into the discussion. At this point, that's all. Thank you.
Thank you. I'll close with my remarks as well. Pardon me. I think the first thing to start out with that we did meet President Enns and your legal staff, Tim and Rick. We all met, and that was very beneficial. We got to air out what we had gone through as far as the Coastal Commission hearing, et cetera. And you know, now we're here at the first meeting, and we get to move forward. And I think that's the what we need to decide tonight on how we move forward, whether or not it's what we feel the vision might be. I think that still is, though we are the host city, as you
we're referring to. Certainly, we actually own the facility in our city limits. And though that's a shared ownership, as we know in our JPA agreement, but it sends a different responsibility to our community. And so for tonight, as far as a vision goes, we need to figure out and discuss how we're going to move forward. And I think that's what that's what I'm looking forward to tonight, getting all the input from Cayucas. Do we want to be a joint board? Certainly my feelings are that I do. I think it's a partnership we need to proceed with. I understand if there is the possibility of Cayucas looking at alternatives. That's all your prerogative as well. But I would like to move forward as partners, and I'd like to hear moving forward from Cayucas, hear your remarks in regards to that, and then maybe come back and discuss some of the more details as far as consultants, the wastewater treatment plant projects, and the Regional Quality Control Board as you've laid them out. But my message, and I think hopefully from the rest of our board here, is that we want to proceed with Cayucas, and I'll turn it back over to Cayucas.
Thank you. I'm asking for comments from Cayucas board members in that regard. Dan Lloyd?
Sure, President Enns. I appreciate the comments from our partners in Morro Bay. I don't see too many Cayucas residents, which was really kind of surprising, but maybe I'm not too surprised. First of all, I think it's probably to be expected that from a due diligence standpoint and a responsibility to our ratepayers, that we certainly look at options for having Cayucas go their own way. That's just so that we can answer the questions from those members of our community who are asking the question. Why aren't we looking at our own options? While I think there's some admitted cost efficiencies by sharing a plant, I think it'll show up in the numbers. Plain and simple. It's an economic analysis. It's going to be a site analysis. That's our responsibility to do on our own. It has no cost or bearing on the city of Morro Bay. But let's be realistic. We have a joint powers agreement. Our objective is to move forward together in that light and to not delay or not to dally, but rather full speed ahead on a joint facility at a location that I think we ought to be discussing, as opposed to simply a unilateral discussion to go to the Rigetti property. That might be a more informal meeting. Look at the information that's already been generated, the money that's been expended on those items, and whatever the parties to this joint powers authority can do to bring that forward, I think would be beneficial. All in the goal of trying to move forward as expeditiously as possible. In terms of the goals and objectives, I think from my perspective, and again, I'm just speaking for me, I'm not speaking for the rest of the directors, I think it's imperative that we move forward towards a joint facility. And when it comes back to the agreement issue of, you know, look at the JPA for costs, I'm assuming, Noah, in every analysis that I'm confronted with in development projects, be it public, be it private, you know, the user fees are based on how much the user uses the facility, whether it's traffic impacts and the trips associated with your use. You know, there's always an assessment about what is your contribution to the impact. And so from my perspective, it's pretty clear that the user-based process, that is, how much do we use the facility, is pretty much the way that it's done across the board, and I'm certainly willing to listen to other thoughts on that process, but I'm just saying from my experience it doesn't appear to be really too much of an issue for disagreement, but I'm certainly open to discussion. And then, as far as I'm concerned, let's work together and we'll do our own independent analysis on the prospects of going it alone. That's my perspective. And we'll see how that goes, but we're also going to do that in a very expeditious fashion, I would imagine. And I'm willing and available to talk about any of these items. Thank you.
Michael?
First of all, I agree with Betty's comment that this really is the opportune time to take a look at our JPA agreement. And I would wholeheartedly endorse Christine's comment. I look at us as really one community. We are tied together by this magnificent bay that we share, and our economic interests and our community and social interests are the same. So, you know, I haven't really thought of the only thoughts that I have, that we have discussed about going on our own is, you know, now that we've got a new scenario, I think we really need to expand the box. And given number one, that we've accepted that, you know, water reclamation in some form is probably going to be a component of any new plant, I think that one thing we need to evaluate is building one plant the most cost-effective solution for both of us? If that's the most cost-effective solution, then both parties or either party to kind of withdraw from, you know, and develop an alternative plant, or whether that requires the consent, I don't know that matters. But again, I agree if there's something that we've heard that, you know, there's changes that we want to do to restructure that, now's the time to look at that before we start, you know, incurring another round of costs. That's I agree with Noah in terms of developing a success criteria. I'd love to participate that and identify what we want to see in terms of a successful project. Happy to participate in that. That's all I have to say.
Shirley?
Well, I think that we as the Cayucas District Board have, you know, a responsibility to the ratepayers to do this at the least possible cost and still get the best possible product. But I think we're all talking about, you know, various things, but I'm not clear in my mind if we've even identified a location. So until we identify where we're going to put the plant and at what cost to get that property and move forward on that, I'm really at a loss to understand all of this other discussion. So I would like to see an identification of a location that we're going to pursue and whether or not it's practical to obtain that location. Thank you.
Dan Chivins.
Thank you. Well, the way I see it, I mean, we hadn't been here 5 minutes and there was talk of divorce and drama and things like that. And I don't see our relationship at that point right now. I think we can, I've boated out of Morro Bay, as I'm sure a lot of you have enough time to know, that we don't just live in Estero Bay. We live in the same part of Estero Bay. So I think we need to work together and do our best. And I think we should strike while they aren't hot right now. And I think that you know, our board is composed of folks with a diverse set of backgrounds, and some of us have been owners and developers and parts of development projects that start pre-tentative map phase, and seeing that long process all the way through with you know, different types of developments, not wastewater treatment facilities so much, but our manager Rick, you know, he's got the engineering background as well as the development background, and he's a really valuable resource. I'd, you know, like to see him included throughout the initial process and looking at alternative sites and working hand in hand with folks from Morro Bay, possibly, you know, a civil, or I hate to use the word consultant at this point, but a manager, you know, whatever, you know, an outside source of knowledge. But I think we have, you know, obviously we have really talented folks in Morro Bay on staff, and I really feel confident, I really feel fortunate that we have Rick on our staff at this time. Sorry, Rick, to put you on the spot, buddy, but, you know, we're not a city council, you know, we're a sanitary district board, so our scope is a lot more limited than the Morro Bay City Council, and it's different. But I agree too with Dan in principle on, you know, we're doing a lot of things to try to get our flow down and to try to clean up our flow, and I think that in conjunction with this, we ought to consider financing. I think we have folks, so we can find folks to look into to granting and financing and all sorts of ways to try to make this thing cost the least that it can, and keep tabs. We just go in circles, and we're all worried about the same things. Like we talked about earlier on in the meeting, keeping a good relationship with the Coastal Commission and the Regional Board and the EPA, and you know, there's a lot to it, but it is doable. I think that the time frame, I mean, the largest development project that I've ever been a part of was smaller than this and took 3.5 years, and we were pretty efficient, and it wasn't done near the coast or as close to the coast as this is. So I think that we need to leave ourselves time to where we're not being fined.
You know, this says recommendations. Where am I here? C4, yep. Following discussion and consideration, the item, discussion and consideration regarding next steps for the WWTPA upgrade project. And I think Mrs. Lyons was the only one that said, let's talk about location. Everybody's pussyfooting around this thing. I haven't heard anybody say, we're going to move the sewer plant. You know, I mean, do you folks agree with that or not? That's what I would like to know. You know, if I made a motion right now, I said, who votes for moving the sewer plant from its current location? Would you guys address that, please? Would somebody up there just tell me that they're going to actually agree with the Coastal Commission and move the sewer plant? That's it. Thank you. I'd like to hear that.
Thank you, Bob.
David Nelson, Morro Bay. I agree with Bob, too. That kind of what I was hoping for, but I'm a dreamer. But what you were saying about grants, I mean, have we gotten 10 cents worth of grants? I mean, I've seen billions of dollars leaving our government for grants for water treatment plants. I think I've sent out State Water Board sent out notices last week that they're holding workshops to show cities and sewer districts how to get this money. They've got money. We've just got to go take them a plan. The CEC has money to put solar and biogas on our plant. Do we have any of these? Do we have any applications? This is, you know, and surely we need a place to put it. We need it before we can even talk about let's buy the newest and the coolest. We got to have a piece of land that says it fits. I was talking to Mr. Schultz, and he said, well, yeah, Dave, we can do it, but where are we going to put it? So these are basic questions that need to be answered right from square one, where we're starting now. Forget that old plant. forget all the old ideas and where we've been, all the money we've wasted. Don't worry about it. Let's figure it out. I mean, like I say, if you haven't gotten a notice from the State Water Board, I'd be glad to email it to whoever puts up, gives me their card. I mean, I get them, and I'm not a water district. So, you know, get on the interested parties list. I mean, they're sending out notices constantly to go come to the workshops, small cities for energy. All kind of grants are out there. I, throughout the whole process that I've seen, not one grant application to have money to build something new, build something innovative, build something very efficient. So, you know, that's what I'm looking for here is this kind of direction. And I've heard the ideas come up, so they're all out there. Let's put them together. And I hope that we stay as a single district because it seems stupid to have two of these eyesores as opposed to one. Because one medium-sized one's going to be a lot better than two small ones. So let's, you know, I think the spirit's here now. Let's try to get it together and let's see some of these grants and things to give the public some hope that we're going in the right direction. Because I know there's a direction out there. And, I mean, I've flushed my toilet here for, you know, almost 40 years now. So, you know, I think it's time to make a change and do the right thing here. So I think we can, as long as we're communicating and going in that right direction. But we need to see some progress in that direction. Thank you.
Thank you, David. Barry?
Good evening. Barry Brannon, Morro Bay. This, the old story is, how do you eat an elephant one bite at a time? And we have a big elephant right now. And as I see it, the whole project can be broken up in pretty simple pieces. We're going to have to design a plant. So to me, you could take five guys in a room and sit down, or five women in a room, and say, we want a plant. What is already designed? Let's not start from a blank piece of paper. Let's find something that works. There are some designs around, three or four that I've seen. Location, very important. But these plants are packaged plants. You could put one right here in Vets Hall if you wanted to. Just be easy. Just level Vets Hall, put it underground, and put the Vets Hall back if you really wanted to do that. So the design of the plant is important, but it's simple. And location is a critical issue that has to be determined. Obviously, you want to get the best for your money. You don't want to pump it too far. We don't want to send it to the men's colony. These are simple things. But if we talk about how big the problem is, we'll never solve the problem. So I think what we really need to do is it sounds to me like we're making wonderful progress tonight. We agree that we're going to go ahead. Coastal Commission has told us we can't put it there, so now we just got to sit down. Where are we going to put it? What are we going to build? How are we going to pay for it? Who's going to run it? These are not difficult. And I believe with concentration.
Important. But location is probably number one. So you know what kind of plant you want to design on that location. Or in the reverse, find out what kind of plant you're talking about, at least roughly footprint-wise, and you know what you're going to require on a location. But real important, and I agree with the appraisal on the Rigetti property. I'm not saying this is the best property or best location, but you don't want to lose an opportunity. So I commend the Morro Bay Council for at least going forward on the appraisal. It doesn't mean you're locked in, you're buying the property, but it's going in the right direction. But there are numerous locations around Morro Bay that would absolutely work for this. So in closing, just keep location is probably one of your most important items, and a location that will work for both communities. Thank you.
I'll try to be quieter than my husband. Barbara Doerr, Morro Bay. Number one, the Rigetti property. We did lots of studies, paid lots of money, looked at the sites, and it seemed to me that one floated up to the top, and the Rigetti site was it. Now, I guess I apologize for not knowing what you guys have done about the Rigetti site, but I would recommend that you get out there, the city of Morro Bay,
take whatever action is necessary and get an option to purchase the Rigetti property before it's gone and you can't even consider it. I wouldn't wait. I wouldn't wait a day. Call a special meeting of the JPA. You know, have a closed session, give direction to whomever you want to negotiate, and get out there and buy it in the next week, or it's going to be gone. And Chairman Ennis, what you mentioned as far as, you know, the treatment plant is in Morro Bay, and it's the Morro Bay residents who are most affected, and that's probably why we're here, and it was nice to hear you say that. As far as the other issues discussed about dissolving the JPA, I came thinking everybody seemed to be so cordial and nice. I was so feeling so positive that everybody's going to get together and work hard and get it done. But I'm sort of losing that feeling. And I think the city of Morro Bay, and I guess I need to look at you, but I think the city of Morro Bay needs to get out there, toss down the gauntlet or whatever you do, and give Cayucas Sanitary District Board the ultimatum. You've got 2 months to hold public hearings, notice all of your community, and make a decision. Are you in or are you out? And if you're in, I think we need to cover our, there's a fiduciary responsibility that this city has. And if they're wishy-washy, I think it's time that the city say, we want a new agreement, a new contract, and a new commitment from Cayucas if you want to be with us. I don't think you should mess around. Nobody can. Everything has to move along. And if there's not a strong commitment on this side, it's time that you guys talk some more. Yep, give them 2 months to get their have their public hearings and public notices, send everything out in the mail. And also in this little survey I was doing and looking at different city sites, I happened to go to Guadalupe. And I guess it must be the same Dennis Delzit that's some kind of engineer for them too, the city of Guadalupe. Well, in that the minutes I was looking at, they were talking about $7.6 million in grants for a wastewater treatment. And it had to be, it was something joint in the county. So, I mean, I used to do grants for Orange County. There's money out there. And we need to get moving along on that. First, you have to have a project, you have to have a site, and it has to be approved. But you need to get the grants, too. But anyways, I wouldn't let Cayucas play games. I mean, I really think it's time for Morro Bay to stand up. And you know, we love you all and hope it all works together. And now if you could get your high school kids authorized to go to Morro Bay, I mean, that'd be great, too. Our kids play, you know, sports together and do things, so come on, get together or, you know, poop or get off the pot.
Thank you, Barbara. Anyone else?
Richard Margetson, Cayucas. I appreciate your comment earlier, Mr. Enns, about public comment. But that's not what this is about. I am strongly a proponent for one plant. You do two plants, you've got duplication of all of the consulting fees, all of the permits, all of the process, all of the hearings before all of the bodies, Coastal Commission, everyone. The economies of scale, the population disparity between the two. And you had objection from a couple of your city council members as to even having that on the agenda that night, that all of those discussions should be here. And there was back and forth, and you finally got into some discussion, and there was comments made. I find it real interesting tonight, though, when everybody was asked to give their comments in front of everybody from both communities and on TV, that the two board members, Mr. League and Mrs. Johnson, have said nothing to this point. I compare that to what was said at the January meeting, and for me, that's disturbing. I think you all have to be on the same page if you're going to move forward collectively. And if you're just waiting for the 2 years of your term to get over, if you think in 2 years that the makeup of the board's going to change or the council's going to change again and you're going to reverse this decision, you've got no way of going other than moving this thing out of town. And my last comment, if you're worried about site location and you've been told you can't put it here, and you can't, and a consultant has told you you can't put it there. Los Osos was told that they could not move the project out of town. Steve Hyland, your consultant at one point for the JPA, and Bruce Buell, the general manager of the CSD, did a video that they presented at a CSD meeting back in, I think it was 2004, 2005, standing by the cemetery, saying and giving the community all the reasons it couldn't be moved out there. And they had to get overriding conditions from the Coastal Commission to put it in the middle of town next to the community center, the Catholic Church, and the Chamber of Commerce. Where's the plant now? Right behind the cemetery.
Thank you, Richard. Anyone else?
Excuse me. Hi, I'm Kathy Oliver. I'm from Cayucas. And I would ask that if Morro Bay came to us in Cayucas with a identified site and a reclaimed water plan, we'd be jumping up and down and getting on board. Thank you.
Marla Jo Bouton, North Morro Bay. Well, I think you've heard from the community and most of the people here, in fact, everyone I've heard speak to you, is encouraging that we work together and that we don't divide our communities. If Cayucas had wanted or thought it was necessary to explore building their own plant, that could have been done, 9 years ago, maybe? You know, there was no mention of that. So and on the other hand, as a Morro Bay person that's watched what's gone on here, I don't mind if Cayucas wants to make their own plant. Really don't. I'm concerned with my community getting forward and doing what we need to do to protect our community, protect our ocean, protect our children that play in the ocean. Reclaimed water, 2006, there was the Governor Schwarzenegger made a declaration of severe drought for the state of California, and I've painfully been watching these communities wiggle out of making reclaimed water available to our communities. Morro Bay is in dire need of water, and Cayucas may not be. You have 4 or 5 water companies, and I believe our farmers out in on 41 are having water trucked in from one of your Cayucas water companies. So I'm a Morro Bay person. I love Cayucas. I have lots of friends here. I lived here before. I lived right on the ocean there. I love the community. I love our ocean and our Estero Bay, and I hope that we can move together forward. But if not, we need to know. We need to know. So I'm asking for both communities to, especially Cayucas, to let us know your intentions and your ideas. If you have ideas, let us hear them. And if you want to go your own way?
Well, I'd like to try to identify 10 of the most recent constructed wastewater treatment plants that are recognized to be state-of-the-art, that, are 1.5 to 2 million gallons per day, and for the staff to tell us why they're recognized as state of the art, and sort of identify them on the criteria that we're looking for. Is Title 24 water capable of fully operating without an ocean outfall, if necessary? That could be built at a cost not to exceed $40 million in 2012 dollars. And given our timeline, that could be built within a couple of years after a permitting process. Given what we've heard about the condition of our plant. And maybe that could be evaluated in terms of its environmental footprint, energy, cogeneration, visual appearance, and control of odor. I don't think we need to reinvent the wheel from scratch. I just like to, have a global search for what's out there. I realize that's a task that that's Morro Bay has a limit on the staff, and maybe we need to try to enlist the public or other people involved to form an ad hoc committee or some kind of group to do that. But I think that's the first place to start.
Okay, thank you, Shirley.
I think in the interests of all the ratepayers in both communities, it's our job to move forward as quickly as possible and identify a project, which we haven't done. And if we're going to move the plant, then I think we need to do that as quickly as possible and not waste any more time.
Dan?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I want to see Cayucas represented in whatever is happening starting right now. I'm visualizing that being via Rick Kuhn, our district manager, and then that way, as board members, we know exactly what's going on and we're working together. It doesn't seem that complicated to me. And let's get going.
Okay, thank you, Dan. I'd like to make a couple of comments. One is, what am I expecting at this point? Let me clarify a couple of things with the public comment. Bob Doerr, you asked about, are we going to move the plant or not? One thing we do know, we're not building it where it currently is. Okay, so that implies that we're moving it somewhere. Okay, Cayucas is very curious about where we're going to move this plant. Yes, we'd like to be a part of it, but at this point we don't know what we're being a part of. I'm hearing things like get on board or get off, and I'm thinking, get on board of what? What are we getting on board of? So what we'd really like to see, again, I'm going to repeat that we're trying to respect Morro Bay's feelings about their community and where they'd like this plant. And all we're asking is, where would you like it? Are you looking at alternative sites? Or is Rigetti the only one you're looking at just because the Coastal Commission told you so? What's the level of treatment you're anticipating in this new plant? Are you looking at a trickling filter plant, oxidation ditch plant? Are you looking at an MBR plant? What are you going to do with the water? To consider what it's going to cost our ratepayers. And at some point, when you say, well, your part's now not going to be $10 million, it's going to be $25 or $30 million, don't you think that we want to think about what we might be able to do for less than 25 or 30 million? Yeah. That's our responsibility to our ratepayers, and trust me, we are going to do that. So we're asking Morro Bay, what do you want to do? Well, we look at their meeting last night, and it says, well, we're going to come out of closed session on negotiating with the Rigetti Trust. Now, if we were going to be partners in a JPA, wouldn't you think that that activity would be something that would be decided by the JPA? It should be the JPA looking at the property. We weren't given that opportunity. And while this is Morro Bay rushing ahead, and you're asking us to get on board of this train that's already left the station, we have concerns about, is that the only site? What kind of money do you think you're spending to go there? And finally, if you go there, what's your schedule? Don't you have to annex this property into the city? How long does that take? You know, what now, or you deal with it, you submit your project to the county of San Luis Obispo, and they're the approving agency. How are you going to do this? So there are a lot of questions out there. And yes, we have some ideas, but I'm going to go back to saying Morro Bay is the host city, and we're trying to respect that. And what we'd really like to see is Morro Bay come forward and say, we'd like to go to the Rigetti property, here's the cost. Or we are considering two or three other alternatives. If you will recall, the DUDAC report had, help me here, Tim, how many alternative sites did we look at? 13, was it?
I think it was 16 at the rough screening. And,
okay,
and
so we had 16 different sites. And all of a sudden, you're looking at one, the Rigetti site. And while somebody said that came out on top, it did not come out on top. The current site came out on top. Now, I'm not arguing that we're not going to put it there. We already said we're not. So if the Rigetti was the second best site, that's fine. Let's go look at it. But I'm asking you, out of the 16 sites, is that the only one you're going to look at? And, you know, we talked about Chevron. I think there's even some alternatives that weren't on that list. And so I would maybe suggest to Morro Bay where they look. But, again, I really need to respect where they want to go. They've certainly changed directions from where we were both headed at the time. And I'm not objecting at this point to the change in direction. I just kind of want to know what direction and where it's going to go. So those are my feelings. We, as Cayucas, will have to do diligence to what these things cost for our ratepayers. We're just obligated to do that. In the interim, we're likely to be looking at how to improve the quality of what we're sending to the current treatment plant, only because we feel obligated to address some of these environmental issues that pestered us to go to tertiary in the first place. And there's some timelines on that. NRDC is out there waiting to file a lawsuit against us for non-performance. So we're looking, we Cayucas, I believe, are looking for where we can go for the best dollar. We'd like to go with Morro Bay. We've had a good relationship with them over the years. The treatment plants run well. Again, I think you heard me compliment Mr. Keogh down there and our respect for him and the way the treatment plant's been run. And we're not interested in rushing headlong into spending another $2 million and then find out that we don't want to use that new site. We're willing to move quickly, as a lot of people have suggested, but we really don't want to rush blindly into something unknown. So having said that, I'll ask Mayor Irons to have his council comment.
Thank you, President Enns. I want to make a couple comments real briefly. As far as our two council members, Lee and Johnson, they've had a voice tonight, and they've voted. So in respect and in defense of them, whatever may have been their comments in January, they've had a voice tonight. So I certainly recognize them for that. And secondly, I think when we go as we go forward tonight, it's I think we've had a great conversation, and but I think what everybody wants to know is where we go from here. I'm going to stop with my comments so far and turn it over to the board members for their comments.
In the perfect world, no, nobody wants the plant where it is. The perfect world is we like to get it somewhere else. And just like you say, that's where it's going to go, so we need to all work together and get it moved. And I have to come up and say, you know what? I got to get away from the feeling that maybe that was the best place, which it was laid out as the number one spot, but I got to get over it and move ahead. And we got and the Rigetti property, if that's the one, well, let's go for it. But I think, like Bob said, there's other sites out there, and maybe we ought to take a look at them too. But we're going to run into problems. We're going to run into a lot of problems with the Rigetti property, with any of them, because, you know, one thing about sewer plants, there isn't too many people want them in their backyard. And you're going to have problems out there with those people out there. And what's the price of the property? We have a mount that we can pay, and that's all we can pay. And it is outside the city limits. There's a lot of problems. So, but I'm all for just... You know, let's dig our heels in, and let's get to work. And like Bob says, you can't rush into this. You know, we've taken a lot of years out of this, but we need to start aggressively moving ahead. But now we know where Cayuga stands. They want to be on board. We need to take a better lead, and we need to work with them shoulder to shoulder, and we can get this thing done. Okay?
Thank you. First, I want to echo George's comments on Robert Ann's comments. I really appreciate hearing where you're coming from, and I think that means we can now begin the process of moving forward. Secondly, I want to object strongly to what was said about me personally during public comment. I was very misrepresented in my comments. The thing I said, and I will say it again, was that I did not think that the city of Morro Bay should be discussing our wastewater treatment plant without input from Cayucas. We are a JPA, we're a joint power, and I think we needed to hear tonight what they had to say. And that's all I said. I made my comments, and that's the way it is. Now, I think since we know that Cayucas wants to continue, we need to get moving. We've heard some really good comments. I think Shirley was very right when she said, let's look at location options. We are having the Rigetti property assessed. That's a step. Do we know that that's the best property? Absolutely not. We know that DUDEC gave us 16 options. Based on public input, it's only right that we go back and look at those options and take some time to decide which one is the best and which one is going to be the least expensive and the most useful for what we need to do. We need to get started with that now. Since we've agreed that we both want to work together on this, I think the first thing we need to do is get a project manager out there who can move this forward and get us started on the process. We need a process. We need a location. We need a plan for our plant. Maybe we can use some of the information that went into our current plan. I know we don't want to do the oxidation ditches, but that could maybe be altered to fit the needs of recycling the water. Where can we build the plant that there's actually an aquifer that we're going to be filling from this plant? We don't want to, if in fact we're going to do that. And there are a lot of questions, and I think the only thing to do is get started now, get moving, and get this show on the road.
Noah?
Yeah, thank you. I
think we're making progress tonight. As far as the effort to initiate with Rigetti, that's an obvious step to at least get the assessment going. The appraisal is an important part of understanding just what that property is valued at, so then we know if that's even an option for us. Because right now it's for sale at a price that we haven't confirmed yet. That does not mean I agree that that's where we're going. And there are some additional sites that have risen to the top of the fine screening analysis that have obvious potential that have been identified without having fatal flaws, which is a key point of the screening, is we are looking forward to working with our elected representatives in Washington at the state level. We're taking very seriously the need to pursue and hopefully acquire grants and funding opportunities that will help us here. We've already initiated some meetings there, and from the city side have plans to send letters, and we'd like Cayucas to be a part of that as you see fit. But you know, I think we need to get clear on something about how is our communication going to work, because I'm getting mixed messages of, well, Morro Bay, what do you want to do? But then also, as we start to lay out very simple, basic first steps, I'm sensing that Cayucas is feeling not happy with how that's being laid out. So let's talk a little bit tonight about how we're going to move forward, because if we're tying our feet together but then asking Morro Bay to take a strong lead, that's a confusing situation for us to be in. So I'd like to get a little more clarity tonight about that, because I think for us to be able to expedite this, we're going to need to understand what the fundamental process is going to be for us to move. So let's see. I'll go ahead and pass. I might have one other item that I want to come back to.
Thanks. I'll turn it over to Christine.
Thank you. I would like to recognize, before I begin with specific steps perhaps to get us moving forward on location, that ratepayers are very important in Morro Bay as well. And we have a diversity of folks in our town, and we've got seniors on fixed incomes, and we've got families with three or four children at home, and to them, rate is the number one thing. To all of us, I believe rate is the number one thing. I don't hear anyone else saying, oh, but technology is the most important thing to me. Technology is important. It's a component. It ties itself into location, but ratepayers and rate is the number one concern and anxiety-producing issue about this, and I haven't even mentioned our business community and the impact that higher rates will have on our hotels and our restaurants, and that, of course, is what ourselves and Cayucas depend upon for our economic development. So ratepayer is something that will be in our minds in Morro Bay as we move forward as well. So I heard very clearly that the Cayucas board would like to hear about steps forward. So I have some simple beginning points. Noah has mentioned the rough screening sites and the fine screening sites from the past work the consultants have done for us, which is extremely valuable to us, and we've already paid for it. There were several sites that were considered, and I think you could add maybe one at least for sure, or two more. I could see us at some point making some decisions about three or four or five sites. Now, before we do that, we'd want to make sure we include public input. So every step of the way, I hope we're able to have public input in the process so that we don't end up with people feeling as though they didn't get a chance to comment. So I think we go back and look at the fine screening sites, and then I think we add one or two more that did not make that top three list. There's another option that we could consider, and I believe we need to have a plan A, but also think about a plan B. That's a little bit the issue now, is that we don't exactly know where to go for plan B. So there's always the alternative to, when it comes to your EIR time, you could decide to do two sites and two full EIR reviews. And if there's a fatal flaw in one, then you can quickly move forward with the other. So it would be, I don't know if it would be something that we'd be willing to do in terms of cost, but it may be something to, we may want to consider the idea of having two EIRs on two projects simultaneously moving forward. And I don't know, and I apologize for not knowing the details of the most recent project in our county, which would be in Los Osos, but I do believe that that was their path in Los Osos. I do believe they did pay for two EIRs simultaneously. Speaking of Los Osos, I would like to point out, just as a factual basis, we were talking about top dollar, and I think that that was a very good point brought up here. In San Luis Obispo County, our newest plant is in Los Osos. And you can go on to their website and look at their documents for their budget, and it's just a point of information that their plant, in our dollars, with, I believe, 100% reclaimed water, they do not have ocean outfall, is $34 million. So at one point, there are some documents that the Morro Bay and CSD has on the website, and at one point we were looking at a low figure of $28 million and a high figure of $34. So whether we'll be able to stay in that $28 million, I think we all might have a question about at this point. However, if you're looking at what's the most recent plant being built in Morro Bay, or excuse me, in our county, but I should point out that this is just for the wastewater treatment. Ourselves, what I'm hearing from my community, and I have no doubt it's circulating in Cayucas as well, is how are you going to communicate to us, the people, the ratepayer? We don't know the facts. How are you going to let us know every step of the way what you're doing, what the decisions are? I commend each and every one of you here tonight on Valentine's Day for being here and for listening to us go on this long. But quite frankly, many people in our community just simply don't have the time always to be here and to hear things firsthand. So I would like us to not forget about the communication piece, because I think it will help us control rumors. And anytime we can give people more facts, it lowers their anxiety, and the emotional aspect of this process will be a bit, we'll just lower everyone's anxiety. So with that, I appreciate you listening to me ramble on, and that's all for now. Thank you.
Thank you. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back. Okay. Are we back on? We are back on. Is everybody back at their seats and tables? Thanks, everybody, for the short break. I was just about to close and then turn it back over to Cayucas and do that discussion. But real briefly, there's a lot of things that have been talked about, and you know, as well as people coming out on Valentine's Day, and you know, we said earlier, you know, we did want to thank Cayucas and recognize, you know, we have been celebrating with our treats and everything that was put out. So thank you, Cayucas, for that. That was a lovely gesture. And I do want to take responsibility for the Brigetti site and that discussing that at our council meeting. I'll take responsibility for that, and I think in the future that communication will be conveyed a little bit better. But there wasn't anything meant to as far as outside the two bodies. But I'll leave it at that, and we'll. I'll close with my remarks. I think we've covered a lot of things tonight. I think we've determined how the board is going to proceed. We're going to proceed together. Cayucas is also going to explore what their options are, but we are going to proceed together, is my understanding. And so this item that was just basically an open discussion item, I think we can close and move on to future agenda items. And I think some of the items that came up were project manager was one of the proposals. With that, unless there's any other comments from the Morro Bay board, I think we'll turn it over to Cayucas, move on to the next item, which would be future agenda items. President Enns?
Sorry, I'm writing here.
Thank you. Cayucas, any further items for the next agenda. Dan?
Yeah, let me. I was just thinking about something here. What I think in the spirit of, I'm getting close. Believe me, my wife is doing something for Valentine's. If I get home at a decent hour, just a thought. It would seem to me that we've all got some ideas going on. What might be productive is for Morro Bay to create a work plan, a task outline. We do the same thing, get together and merge them. They're not going to be too different. But at least we could do something productive between now and then that would identify what our priorities are, how we think we ought to proceed, whether it involves a project manager or a way to get to where we really want to go. I think we need to huddle up amongst ourselves, come up with clarity for ourselves with the two camps, and get together and merge those. And we can do it either, obviously we're going to do it for the public to discuss this, but we can do it in a way that we can transfer information and then merge the lists, come up with a agreed upon priority list of how to proceed, multitask at the same time, sites, technology, public outreach, and various items. But that's a suggestion.
Okay, well, let's consider that as an item for our next agenda then. And we'd ask Morro Bay then to do a little homework and give us some direction where you'd like to go, and we'll do the same on our end.
Okay.
And we'll put that on the next agenda.
And the concept here is we don't necessarily have to table our agenda items tonight. We can still discuss agenda items.
At that point, we could, if we wanted to, talk about the attributes and skills of a project manager, or at least get ourselves going in that direction.
Okay.
Tonight, we talked about the JPA agreements, and there were different perceptions of that, and just knowing that we have new board members, and for the public's benefit, it would seem like we'd want just an overview of our current agreement. What are the basic foundations of that? What are our communication foundations and our different commitments for the financial side? Just an overview, and it could stem into a discussion about, well, these are things we might need to talk about updating or not. The third item, obviously, would be to review the screening analysis information that we have, specifically the sites that are on the table from that, and that conversation could lead to, is this enough? Do we need to look at additional sites from there? Fourth, and this would be good so that we had the ability to meet and knowing going into the Regional Water Board meeting, it would be helpful if Cayucas, if you did have your representatives for our subcommittee. We have ours. I think it would be helpful to know who yours were. So if we need to schedule interim meetings, particularly to talk about the upcoming agendas and the Regional Board, we're prepared to do that. And the fourth is kind of touchy-feely, but at some point we will need to talk about goals and success criteria, and it might be interesting, although this is somewhat of an aggressive agenda, to have that involved. So I would definitely be willing to delay that, knowing that we have quite a bit we're biting off, if those are the items that we're talking about.
Actually, Mr. Smuggler, I'd like to see you delay at least two or three of those things, because just based on what you've said, I'm looking at probably a meeting that's going to go way beyond where we are tonight. I know we need to get busy. I really liked the idea from Cayucas of going back, coming back to our next joint meeting with our plans, spending some time looking at what we've come up with, see where we have agreement, and work out the things that we're not agreeing on. And then I think that gives us a real focus on how we can move forward. I don't know about the rest of our boards, but I don't look forward to being here until 11 o'clock next month either. So if you could just postpone a few of those somehow, because that's a very lengthy agenda you've suggested.
It is, but think about each of these, and this is the way I'm thinking about each of them, as the foundation to then a larger conversation and understanding that we won't particularly be making decisions about, say, well, the JPA agreement, this is what I want to see in it. It's going to be a review of the JPA agreement and then a discussion about, well, how do we want to fit this into the overall process? What are the things that will need to be discussed? And then scheduling those.
Yeah, but
so
I
that's
think,
an example of yeah. how I think we can move through this. And I would be concerned about not doing that, because then we're kind of starting to get into the mode of, well, we can then take care of that at a later time. We need to start to build the foundation to this project, and these are all items that people have brought up tonight, and they're legitimate.
They are legitimate, but not just one more thing, and then I'll hush up, I promise. I think, number one, we're all capable readers. If we had a copy in advance of the JPA agreement, we could review that before the meeting. I don't think we need to review that at the meeting. We could have a brief discussion. I kind of like it when you have an agenda where you put time limits on some of these things. But I really, really feel that we both need to come back with our suggestions for next steps and work that out before we start taking next steps. I know we want to get moving, and it's only one more month, so let's see what Cayucas wants to say. Let's see what we want to say. Let's see where our common ground is. That's all I'm asking.
Thank you. I'll make some comments on that, some suggestions, because I think the JBA agreement, we can discuss at our council meeting under wastewater treatment plant. We're going to have an ongoing placeholder for that, so we can knock that off. And I think the other items here, the subcommittee is very easy. Review, find, screening, that's something that we should be doing if we're going to be coming back with a plan. So we can, that's on there. And then update the Regional Water Control Board. Those are items that we can do. And I think President Enns and I can work on the agenda as well as things come up. Any other?
I would just like to add a comment about getting some timeline from our staff about the next audit.
We can put that out there. Go ahead, Bruce.
Anyway, it's been a pretty good night.
Thank you, George. With that, we'll turn it back over to Cayucas.
Thank you.
All right. With that, I think we'll be able to adjourn the meeting. Thank you very much. I'd like to say thank the audience for your attention. I'd like to thank you for being polite when you came to the microphone. Thanks, like, AGP over there. Appreciate you guys.
Thank you.
Good.
Hi, how are you?
Yes, thank you.